You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love a soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
Oh, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here? I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker. Yeah.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
All right. Welcome to PFW in progress. Oh, my God. I am just...
Welcome
beside
to Arizona,
myself.
Baby.
Oh, man. Well, I'm just excited.
What?
This is unbelievable.
Because he's no longer scared.
That's what I'm saying. Welcome to Arizona.
It's an amazing weekend of football that we just witnessed. The Patriots, of course, with a big win over the Jaguars. They're going to be playing the San Diego Chargers this Sunday, 3 o'clock. Unbelievable.
In the course of about 18 hours, you went from fearing what the Patriots defense was going to have to do against the Colts to, woohoo, the Colts lost, baby.
I'd still be excited, but this, you know, we got an AFC championship coming up at Gillette. You could sense the excitement in the building. Everyone's just, you know, getting
palpable.
Ready.
Especially with PFW.
PFW, oh, yeah. Well, you guys, you don't care. But
what do you mean we don't care? Welcome to Arizona, baby.
I'm going to bring that up in a minute. We got some emails that are really calling us out.
I know one of those.
Me or us?
All of us. But anyway.
Specifically you, but it was all
pick?
Of us.
What did I have? Packers, Colts?
Well, we all picked the Patriots.
No,
Fred's
I know.
The only one who covered because
I got to be honest. I was picking the Colts against the Patriots. I was going to pick the Colts. Because I thought the defense, the pass defense, did not look good. And with Harrison coming back, all those weapons, I was going to pick the Colts.
All right, well,
I wasn't going to pick the Colts, but I definitely was fearful of the Colts.
Sure, so was I. We're going to get into all that. But right now, you know, on Patriots.com, you can obviously hear it after the fact. But Bill Belichick still hasn't had his press conference today. And they're going to be trotting in at least three players a day. For press conference,
he hasn't gone out yet.
No,
so do I have to go through it again?
By me and you. Andy.
Well, we didn't know you were going to be. We haven't seen you, so we didn't know you were going to be here. We were coming down to the show, and we were worried.
Well, I figured because there's open locker room,
right? Yeah. And we were afraid there wasn't going to be anybody here to start the show, so we made sure that Eric went and took care of that because he has to do the update anyway. And then we were going to go down 11:30. We're supposed to be the press conference, but
call this PFW in progress.
Right. We had to get Ask PFW done, so we did a real quick 10-question one. We divided it up because Tom was supposed to do it. Tom's not here because he's not feeling well.
Tom's not feeling well.
So we were a little bit flustered this
morning. A little flustered, but there's all kinds of, you know, you can sense the excitement. You know, the NFL's here now, and you got parading, you know, more than just Bill Belichick every day. There'll be at least three different players with press conferences every day leading up to Friday when – both teams show up at the AFC Championship Hotel in Providence, and they'll have live press conferences. What?
I think they might be here, according to the Patriots end.
Oh, they're going to change it to here?
I believe reading the media schedule that was updated, it said media workroom 2:30 or 2:45 on Friday. So I think they're having them here.
Yeah.
In the past, they have done it at hotels, but I think the home team is doing
it here. Yeah, and I can sense it. You guys feel the excitement, too, because, you know, after yesterday, you managed to get into work today, so that was, you know, I really appreciate that.
You know what? Thank God that I did that yesterday. Did you see some of that stuff in the morning?
I really appreciate you guys coming in today.
Well, basically, in light of the previous storm, the entire world overreacted in the other direction.
And
there was nothing. Everything was state of Massachusetts was closed.
No, and there's Bill to the podium now, by the way. No one worked yesterday, Fred. Did you see that? Except for you, evidently.
Geez, I don't know about that.
And I also would say, we weren't supposed to work Sunday, and Andy and I work Sunday.
Yeah.
So I kind of made up for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, boy.
I'm with him.
Listen to him. Oh, boy.
You know, most people head. Like, it's like, oh, we're in the, you know, wow, we have to put in that extra effort.
And we did.
Right, and we did. We worked Saturday and
right,
Sunday.
Right, and we're going to make sure we take all that next right. day off. All right. Anyway. Okay. But there's a lot to talk about here. It's exciting. We want to talk about all the games that happened over the weekend. I think the only one I was surprised at was that Colts game. I thought the Giants would win, and I thought Green Bay would win. But that Colts game was a shocker in my estimation. I had no fear that the Colts were going to win that
I
game.
I was making fun of Paul because we had started stuff on the Chargers preview for the Patriots-Chargers. Yeah. I said, I don't even worry about it. They don't have a chance in hell. And then to see how it ends with Philip Rivers and LaDainian Tomlinson cheering on and smiling from the sideline while Billy Volek and Michael Turner put together the game-winning drive.
Well, there's somewhat, let's start with the Patriots game and get your thoughts on that.
Good the game. Offense could not be better. Tom Brady is the most perfect human being on the planet.
What else can you say besides? I mean, they have not been off their game, really, all year. The only
Damn
one that
right.
comes close is the Colts game. You know, for three quarters of that Indy game, Indy stopped them, kind of held them in check, held them to 10 points, and then they scored 14 points in the last 10 minutes.
What did you think about what Paul Spicer, I think, said at the end of the game, after the game, that it was nothing special by Brady, it was all checkdowns, anyone could do that?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Reggie Nelson,
you're right, Reggie Nelson said
that. Anybody could do that in a checkdown game, the 26 or 28 and 16 straight.
See, why do people say these
But you
things?
Know what? You know what? The stupid part of that is, yes, anybody physically could make the throws that Brady made the other day, but not anybody can make the mental adjustments as quickly and as effectively as he does.
And how
that's
about,
where he's great.
How about some of the passes? He was giving hand signals to Watson and Welker, and then throwing.
He was playing his own little game.
It's unfair right now what they can. We talked about
a whole different
Paul,
level.
This was a game where Moss wasn't the big guy. And that we kind of saw those augmented receivers. You know, the Watson scores a touchdown. Welker gets his 9 catches. Maroney runs the ball. This was one of those things maybe we expected a little earlier, but other people to reap the fruits of this offense and all the talent they had. Even Stallworth had a big play, which his game is sort of what we expected him to be this year. Every once in a while, just have like a 50-yard catch. Now, he admits he probably should have scored on the play and made it a 70 five-yard touchdown or whatever it would have been. But this is a game where
that
Moss, one
play,
catch.
Though.
Other than that, you know, it was the rest of the weapons on the offense. Your guy got his, you know, nice little 9 catches for 22 yards.
I thought the offense, Fred, was as
keep
close.
Digging your hole.
I thought the offense was as close to perfect as it can be.
Yeah.
And if that's not perfect, I mean, you know.
Yeah, he's been worked up over the passer rating for the last 3.5 days.
Oh, God, that really bothers me. I'm not even talking about right now, I wasn't talking about that, but
you want to know why he doesn't. He
if
didn't
that's
have
not
a
perfect, there's no such thing as perfect. Right?
Yeah,
it's what yards per attempt. Is that what kept him back?
I guess I don't know.
Paul not happy with the passer. He's been ranting for literally midway through the game on. He's been ranting about that passer rating
for both of them.
Yeah,
because there was a point.
That's the other thing, by the way, Gerard played very well too.
Gerard played excellent
at the end of the first half. I don't think a quarterback could play better than those two guys have played, and neither one of them had a perfect rating. Why is it there? If it.
Well, the Patriots dared Gerard to beat him. They did a pretty good job against Taylor and Jones-Drew, but he almost did.
If his receivers could catch, he might have.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was good logic, good reasoning by the Patriots defense. I don't think they played particularly well, but I think the style of play was what you would expect.
Right.
Make sure that you don't let Taylor and Jones-Drew beat
you. I think when a team makes a concerted, you know, when they go out saying, oh, the other quarterback has to beat us and we're going to focus on the run, I think drop passes have to factor into that. There's very few pass teams that, you know, are like the Patriots where, and even the Patriots drop passes, but, you know, are so efficient. You know, teams drop passes.
Right, but two of them would have been touchdowns.
Two of them would have been.
Well, that was the two key drops. That was the only difference between the first half and the second half. I've heard a lot of talk, mostly from the Patriots players, but some people have written it too. The Patriots made the adjustments in the second half. No, they didn't.
And I got to give Richard Seymour credit. Someone asked him point blank, what were the adjustments that made a difference in the second half? What was the difference in the second half? And he said, Well, they had to kick a field goal, and we scored a touchdown, and I think the game changed.
The game changed
from there.
Right there. And
well, yeah, if Northcutt makes the catch,
right, and the reason
the game
they had
doesn't
to,
change.
Right.
Your defense hasn't adjusted to anything.
Exactly. The reason they had to kick the field goal is just exactly what Andy said. They dropped the pass.
But that being said, I don't think it matters against the Chargers because I don't think they're the team that can match them.
Well, I'm not sure anybody but the Colts could, and I don't think anybody but the Colts could slow the Patriots down. Now, the Colts defensively on Sunday were, abysmal.
Fred's 85 Bears defense gave up a lot of yards.
Boy, that
on
was
Sunday.
A disappointing performance by Indy.
I just couldn't believe
it there.
You know, after all the talk great, that I gave, you know, about the Colts defense, they did not look. They looked like they did last regular season.
Right.
You know, it was unbelievable. And
somebody,
you know,
hit
I guess you could say, you know, they could have used Dwight Freeney. He probably would have made a difference
sure,
in that game.
Sure.
But they had been playing
without,
well
yeah.
without him,
and they were yeah, in position him. To make plays in that game and didn't. And I thought Bob Sanders in particular. You know, was doing all the things that we've seen him do so many times, buzzing around the line of scrimmage, buzzing around the, you know, the secondary, and he was there and just didn't make plays.
Well, you know, you have to chalk a lot up to it, to the coaching of Tony Dungy, resting his players at the end of the season. A lot of the teams that lost did that over the weekend. So, Dungy has a little bit of to blame.
I thought you were going with the speculation about his jaw, but his mind was already.
Well,
in Tampa.
I think that too. I think that had a factor. I think
well,
that
see,
had
I think that was a bigger factor. Actually,
I think that had a factor in the Cowboys game with Spagnuolo and Garrett also thinking about jobs
I think,
beyond.
I think you're right about that too.
You know? The closest
now the
coach
Cowboys
to the name you just said is on the Giants. Just so you know,
the thing that's funny is the whole wrestling thing. I know that I read the Peter King thing that you're talking about too. First of all. He says that Green Bay didn't rest. They did rest. And then they came out and maybe had the best performance of anybody in the playoffs. Brett Favre played the last game. He spent more time high-fiving the referee than he did actually playing. And the other thing is who's the other team there?
Giants?
what did I forget?
Seahawks?
The Cowboys.
Cowboys.
The Cowboys didn't throw it in neutral down the stretch. They just stunk.
Right.
They only didn't play the last game.
Right, well, that's a big game.
But they stunk the first three games
well,
before
right.
that.
They did. That, all the more reason why you shouldn't rest that last game. You got to get back
well,
in the groove.
They rested the guys who were hurt, like T.O. didn't well, play the last game. Romo played. He stunk.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well, right. How about T.O.? He's going to end up dead.
I think Florio had the best comment, after his post-game breakdown.
I thought that was
tears of a clown. That's what it was.
Well, I see. I don't think it's a clown because I think he is a troubled individual.
Oh, he's insane.
I think he
is just like on this peak, and he could fall off either side at any time.
We haven't heard the last of him.
No, and I don't think we've seen the last suicide.
Hey, look, the suicide thing is real to me.
Well, who said that?
What?
What? What are you talking about, suicide?
He tried to commit suicide
once,
last year.
And it's going to happen
whoa,
again.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Don't say he didn't, Fred.
I'm not joking, Fred. I think he's a guy that is clearly always on the brink of a mental breakdown of he's dangerous to himself. He's wacko.
I think he is on the verge of a mental breakdown. I'm not sure if he's suicidal.
But
well, I mean, that was speculation, but
don't you think that he, despite the 25 million reasons that he
no,
has
that
to
was
live,
my first thought, but it didn't once
nothing,
the facts came out.
Right, but nothing changes now. I mean, when you see how he is, I mean,
he's clearly a very big
possibility.
He's absolutely a nutcase.
I mean, it'd be one thing if he was always a jerk and had feuds, but to go the other way and start, oh, that's my quarterback. You're talking. I mean, he is just wacko.
Yeah.
Wacko.
Yeah, he's nuts. I wasn't surprised that Green Bay handled the Seahawks.
No. But it was in doubt early.
Yeah, but I think Green Bay really showed that they're probably playing better than any team right now.
I have to say, I mean, I told you I picked Seattle because I just really wasn't a believer in Green Bay. I couldn't have gotten a better start. You know, for the upset to have Ryan Grant fumble twice,
right.
They clearly were that much better than Seattle to not only overcome that, but win going away from that. You know, it's one thing to overcome those mistakes and find a way to scrap out a win, but they dominated the game.
You imagine
from
if
that point on.
Imagine if LT fumbles twice and the Patriots jump out to a 14-0 lead on Sunday. How quickly is that game over? You know. Yeah.
Well,
there's no way the San Diego Chargers would hold on.
The thing would be the comparison
the
would be the other way around. If Maroney fumbled on
the better team,
the first,
well,
team,
yeah,
the favorite
to right. see what San Diego would do. Would San Diego end up losing the game? 42-14, like
right.
Seattle did. I mean,
right.
Seattle was never in the game.
Yeah.
From that point on.
Do you care? Since we're looking ahead to Arizona, the matchup. You care?
No.
Green Bay Giants.
I'd rather play Green Bay.
I'd rather play Green Bay because I want redemption.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with which one I think they would do better against. I just, for the week, I'd rather have Green Bay.
I agree. For the week, and I also think for the story of an undefeated Patriots team, that's the final team you haven't beaten. That's supposedly a good team of the year.
Right.
If you'll have checked them all off.
You basically have beaten everybody.
No one can ever say you didn't
beat. I didn't
even
think of that, but that's
the final one. You've beaten everybody else, and I think it'll be more enjoyable. You know, we'll get nauseating at times with the whole Favre. But you're always going to have that. The one thing I think is funny now that Eli is still – can you imagine if Peyton hadn't won last year and Eli was still playing in the playoffs fighting for a Super Bowl and Peyton Manning was at home? Because – I mean,
yesterday.
It's got to hurt him a little bit just to have Eli still playing when he's not. I mean, I'm sure there's part of him that's saying, I'm happy he's my brother. But there's got to be a part of him saying, I can't freaking believe my brother is still
in. How about the fact, though, that, you know, 5 yards away from both being in the AFC Championship game, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. And apparently they have a new commercial that's funny, too. An Oreos commercial.
Oh,
I read about
it. It wasn't funny. It was kind of embarrassing and uncomfortable.
I'll wait till I see it.
I didn't hear the.
I don't trust your assessment of anything that Peyton Manning touches.
I didn't hear the audio of it, but I saw the video of it, but the audio wasn't on.
It goes to prove that Peyton Manning will do a commercial for anything.
It just goes to prove that Peyton Manning does commercials for things that I actually use and buy. Tom Brady does commercials for things that millionaires use and buy.
Right, but Peyton Manning is NFL shill. He will huck anything.
Shill was at Celtics games last night.
So all right. So we got a lot to talk about here, and on the phone right now is, I hope, still Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Fred? I understood you had to do the little thing in the beginning. So.
Oh, okay. You're forgiving us. Great. Thanks.
Hi, I'm not a matter of forgiveness, but I understood the long hold time. I just wanted to make sure I called in like right away. And you know what? And give him his dues, you know? 22 carries for 122 yards. You know, I got to give him his props, Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah, absolutely. He's playing great.
We've been tough on him on this show, so we have to, we have to be fair. We think that, and we've said it even after the Giants game when he only had about 40 yards. We thought he ran great that night. He's continued.
It's
the last
just
month,
the matter the way he hits the holes, you know, especially like you just said, you know. He only had 40 yards, but it's just the way that he attacked the line of scrimmage, and that's been terrific
the last month of the season, and you got to give him credit.
And isn't it clear now, I think, that it was a confidence issue? I mean, Brady brought it up that first game when he had the nice game, and for Brady to bring it out there, I think it's obvious it was some sort of a confidence. Whether it was getting used to not getting 25 carries, having to deal with whatever. There was a mental issue there with Lawrence Maroney because he still has the physical. We're seeing the flashes again that we saw last year that everybody fell in love with. So.
Yeah, and it's freaking awesome to see, you know, and just like hopefully he has another big game against San Diego and whatnot. Now you got to consider, you know, that Jacksonville's line wasn't up to par, you know, like where they usually are. But you know what? It was just the way that he hit those holes. Apparently Tom's not there, huh?
No.
Odd that all of a sudden he's not here when the Cowboys lost, huh?
Well, you know, we're thinking that might have pushed him over the edge. We may never see Tom again.
Jeez, you know, just tell him to come back. It'll be okay. You know what, though? If anything, you know, he could just brag about how he was right about, you know, Bum Phillips' offspring there.
How about you, Cowboys?
Yeah, Wade Phillips is definitely – do you hear him after the game?
You talked about some of the – like the Reggie Nelson. That was the most embarrassing thing.
What
the better team lost.
This is
the coach.
This is the head coach
thing. This is the coach.
You know, sometimes the best team doesn't win sometimes.
No, this isn't Cordell Stewart or Lee Flowers or some, you know, idiot player who's just emotional after – this is the
it's
head
an idiot coach.
Coach. This is the head coach.
But another thing, guys. Hey, guys. But the thing that he said in the beginning, like, I watched the game film and, you know, the best team didn't win.
Yeah.
But if you watch the film, the best team did win. They dominated that line as in New York.
The best team all beat up.
I disagree with that. But the head coach of the losing team can't say that.
No, you can't.
Oh, can't say that.
I mean, the Cowboys should have won that game. There's no question that they were the better team. But you're the head coach. You can't say that.
No.
That's stupid. And when the game was on the line in the fourth quarter, the best team won.
Right.
The Giants dominated the fourth quarter.
Exactly. Now, are you guys disappointed, or are you more or less happy that the Colts didn't make it?
Oh, I couldn't be happier.
I'm disappointed.
Fred, that's you. That's
right.
This is Andy, and he's disappointed. Yeah, I mean, wanted to see Colts, Patriots, 3. They've been slugging it out the last couple games here. I wanted to see another great game.
Yeah, I look at it from both sides. That Andy's side, for the pure story of it, I'm disappointed. Fred's side, from the fan, I'm excited because I think they got the easier of the two teams.
Well, the other thing that makes me just thrilled, I guess the day after the game yesterday on Bill Polian's
that's one of your best ones.
Radio show, he was going off on the refs and saying all this stuff will be addressed on the competition committee.
Well, I didn't think
Can you believe this guy? He has to be stopped.
I can't think of one call that I thought that went against the Colts. Oh. There was one pass interference against San Diego that I thought was terrible on Reggie Wayne.
Can I tell
you
what the problem was with the Colts? I feel, my personal opinion, they gave up on a dive. There was, like, for some reason, I think, because I don't know if you recall earlier in the season, I told you guys, you know, the thing that impressed me about the Colts last year was Peyton Manning checked down and he used a dive as a weapon. You know, and that's why they won the Super Bowl last year. And they had a little bit of momentum because they didn't take that week off or 2 weeks off like they did again this year. You know, and you know what? Peyton Manning felt as if he was the one that had to win that game. And I just think that's where they went wrong.
If his receivers caught the ball, they win the game.
That's true.
He threw for 402 yards.
How many times was he throwing it on first down?
How many times was it incomplete? Seven?
But my point is that.
Yeah, he was 14 for 14 to start the game.
He was 33 for like 41 or something like that. And I'm telling you, Fred, if he had 10 incomplete passes, 8 of them hit his receivers in both hands. Both interceptions went off both hands of the receivers, not one. The last two plays, third and fourth down, Reggie Wayne, boom. Now, the guy made a great hit to knock the ball loose, but the throw was perfect. The last one, and as Andy pointed out, Dallas Clark probably would still be running. He hit him in both hands. I mean, you have to catch the ball.
I think Dungy was the reason they lost that game.
I think he was. I think you're right, Fred. I think that whole thing about leaving, I think you're right. That, I think, was a terrible play, but they lost because of defense, and they lost because they couldn't catch the ball when they had to catch it.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? To look on the other side, you know, I agree with Andy. I'm disappointed, like, as in the history of it. You know, this would have been a historical AFC championship game, you know?
Yep,
it takes a little bit of the shimmer away, but you can't discount the Chargers.
No, they played great down the stretch.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, they're not the same team we faced in the second week of the season.
No, I mean, you know, we like to say that it's a done deal, but really, they do have a chance to beat the Patriots.
No chance.
Exactly. We can't overlook them.
Well, I have to say, if Rivers doesn't play and if Tomlinson doesn't play,
they both
with Gates
play, they got
banged
no
up, I guess that chance
Will
goes way down. But
no chance. You know, I'm going to be saying at whatever time that
game
ends.
I don't like it when
7
Andy
o'clock on Sunday, I'm going to pull a Denny
side.
Green and say the Chargers were who I thought they were.
I like it when Andy's on the other side because then I know I have a better chance.
Well, then you needed the Colts to win because then I would have been on the other side.
Yeah, so. And you got to keep in mind, too, is that they got Chambers in there. You know, he wasn't there when we faced
him.
No,
and he's a good
time.
Player.
Yep.
Yeah,
you know, he
we know the Chargers are better than they were then, but you know, what are the Patriots?
Yeah,
worse.
Really?
I don't know.
I think their offense is better.
Their offense is perfect.
I mean, their offense was great then; it's great now.
Yeah, now they've got a running game. We think, you know, it's hard. We don't want to make final judgment on that. Just like we didn't want to make final judgment when Maroney wasn't doing that well. So, but at least it's showing signs of being there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope Green Bay makes it to the Super Bowl. That's my thought. You know, I think that's going to be a huge, huge rating, obviously, against the Patriots. And I just think it's going to be sweet revenge, you know, because of 96. You know, I'd love to give Favre his little loser losing Super Bowl again. But take care, guys, and tell Tom to man up and come in.
All right. We'll pass it along.
All right. All right. That's Anthony in Naples. You know, I don't have the same feeling of I need revenge against the Packers.
I just thought the fans.
You did.
Just for the fans. That's all.
See, Paul's still mad about a drink or something, aren't you? Didn't somebody spill a drink on you?
I had a completely different experience. That
was the Rams Super Bowl when I was actually working.
You know, I was all dejected after that game, and I walked from the Superdome back to the hotel, and there were Packers fans all over the street. And actually, they were pretty nice. They were like, hey, maybe we'll see each other, you know, next year.
I had the opposite.
You had the opposite experience.
Absolutely the opposite
experience. But you were drunk and belligerent. That's why they were mean to you.
I didn't have one beer that day.
Why?
Because he doesn't have fun at games.
Oh, that's right.
maybe it's because I had about 4,000 during the week leading up to the game, but I was pretty drunk out there that week,
really?
I have to admit.
Well,
that was when I had the oysters, Fred.
Oh, okay. But I just don't have that same feeling of, like, I need to get back at the Packers. You know, it's just, I don't have that.
Yeah, I do.
You do. Okay.
It's a long time ago.
But I would rather play the Packers than the Giants. I'd like to see that game.
I just don't think I would be all that interested in the Giants.
But listen to us. We sound like the Pittsburgh fans team, you know, back in 01.
I know what you're saying.
We're looking ahead.
Look,
we shouldn't be doing that.
I think the Chargers – look, it's funny because we talked about the Chargers on this show all year long about how talented they were and if they put it together and if they did this. And then we kind of gave up on that.
Right.
And we said, well, they're not going to put it together. Even I don't care how much talent they have, they're not going to do it. And then –
Once
we did that, they did put it together.
Yeah, it's usually how it works with us.
But even that, yeah, I know. We Perillo and Hart. I like to say I Perilloed the Colts on Sunday. I don't know if you know, but on my 5 points that you like to make fun of, I said, we'll see you next week with Patriots Colts. I Perilloed the Colts.
That was the first one you've done on your own because Mike Reese wouldn't do that.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I think the Chargers have talent. I just don't. This is not a good spot. I think very similar to the Patriots.
Yeah, it's all
last
on the sideline.
Very similar to the Patriots last year. You know, they had to go across the country and then back to Indy. They ran
North
out
Turner.
Of gas.
Yeah.
I just don't see that. Yeah. I don't see that ending well for San Diego.
On the phone is Josh from Arlington, Virginia. Josh, how you doing?
How's it going, Fred?
Good.
Hey, I think today was a good time for my first call-in ever. I've been listening for about a year and a half now.
Oh, nice.
And I really enjoyed the show. Great
long-time listener, long-time emailer, first-time caller.
Never-time lunch buyer.
Thought it was time to step it up now that things are getting a little bit more intense. Yeah, I think I was actually the second person to buy you guys lunch way back in the off-season when it was just once a week.
Wow. Well, you laid the foundation for what has been a magical run.
You were a very important cog in this machine.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. I wanted to talk quickly about something you guys were talking about with the Colts and being disappointed they're not coming to town. And I felt sort of the same way when I was thinking the Chargers had absolutely no shot of getting by them. But then I tuned into the game and I was watching, and it was kind of close. And as a former caller in or emailer once said, my heart was in my chest. And then I saw that horrible PI call for Wayne, and I thought about all the terrible calls we would have to put up with if they came to town. And I know it goes both ways, but you just see that one terrible call was running down the sideline, the ball sails by him, the guy bumps into him, and the flag comes flying out.
That was a bad call. Did you not see that one?
I don't want to play these guys because all the crap that comes along with the rewards that Reggie Wayne gets for running down the field, even if it's – I mean, like you said, it goes both ways, and that's kind of terrible. But I was just thinking about how infuriating it was going to be to watch that game and see that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, and I'm you know, I don't even want to host Bill Polian. I don't even want him on my property.
Well,
the man's a menace.
Your property?
You own the place now?
It's part. I have a vested interest in this facility.
Yeah, well, you have the chance that Tom might run up and bite him in the face, which would be worth seeing.
Well, that would be good. Yeah.
And again, yeah, Maroney looked really good the other night, so that was great to see. It's pretty great that Belichick was able to convince everybody for the whole season, even including Maroney, that. You know, he should sandbag and pretend like he's not good and have him turn out to be running really well.
Right.
So, and two other things real quick was Jeremy Green was disappointed in the Jaguars' defense was his response after the game when he wrote that prediction.
What did he expect?
How he was disappointed.
It's funny because he's a scout and, you know, the four of us dingbats who wouldn't know a cover two from a man blitz, you know, we all sat there and said exactly how Jacksonville was going to play them. And that's what they did. They're going to back off. They're going to try to take away Moss over the top, give him safety help, and make the Patriots paper cut him to death. And that's what they did.
Right. They might have had a little trouble with the run stopping that was not to be foreseen. But otherwise,
well, when you're trying to defend the run with five guys, that's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, the safeties and everybody was like, when they first snap of the game, you just saw all these people just start flying backwards on the back pedal, and you're like, oh boy, this is going to be interesting to see how we deal with that. It seemed like everybody started dropping back right away except for the front four, which is a little bit odd. I wasn't expecting to see that quite so much.
Yep. Well, they took away Moss.
Yeah, it was a great game, and I think the Chargers will put up a good fight, but if Rivers isn't in there, is that a blessing in disguise? I know we played well the other day, but...
Oh, no, if Rivers isn't in there, that's not good for San Diego.
Right.
Well, Volek likes to throw the ball, and it's been a while, but, he was...
Rivers,
there's a reason why Rivers is a starter.
Rivers was on pace for, he threw for 292 against Tennessee. He was going to go well over 300 Sunday if he didn't get hurt.
No, he was having a great game.
The only thing I'll say about him is I think you can rattle him. I think
he's a hothead.
He's so emotional and so hothead. And I think, and I actually wrote that as one of the keys for the preview is, you know, try intentionally to rattle him. I mean, they need Roosevelt Colvin back for this game just to start yelling at him.
And that apparently includes the fans. If you're sitting behind the Chargers bench, feel free to yell at Philip Rivers because there's a chance he's going to respond to you.
But he made some big-time throws in that game Sunday.
No, he did, yeah.
On third and longs, too. Some big, big spots where that place was, you know, they pump in the fake noise, Fred.
They were pumping in the noise, absolutely.
You know, Palayan.
He had everything against him, and he had a great game.
He made some big plays.
The Chargers had a great game. They should be very proud of that effort.
You know what I liked the throw? They went for, I think it was Gates the first time, right down the sideline, and just missed. He made a nice throw, and the next play they went back to it, I think, to Jackson the second time, Vincent Jackson, and completed it for the touchdown. And he has the physical ability. I think it's the mental with him. I don't personally think he's – it seems like that's who he is. You know, he was a fiery leader in college. Well, he's still too fiery.
Right.
I don't picture him as the – this is a franchise Super Bowl quarterback. He's a guy with a lot of talent who, good and bad, will come.
You need – look, Brady, I think, is very emotional. But he's a calm emotional, if that makes any sense. He's usually under control of what he's doing. Now, he gets fired up. He does the headbutt things with his linemen. He gets jacked up. But he doesn't – the game slows for him when he needs it to slow, when he's in between the lines. Rivers is the opposite. I think he looks all herky-jerky when the game gets really going.
And Brady, you can see sometimes, talking about switches, he's – you know, no one talks more than him after a play if he doesn't like something to the official, whatever. But it's almost like he has a play clock in his head. Okay, I've had my bitch fest. It's time. The next play is coming in. We need to move on to the next.
On.
Rivers doesn't have
That's
that. Rivers keeps
under,
thinking about –
he's an under-control emotional.
Right.
That's what I meant.
Rivers is just a hothead, and I don't think – I mean, who's the last hothead quarterback to win a Super Bowl like that? I mean –
there's not a lot of them.
Jim McMahon,
but they usually call, you know, like, you know, it's Joe Cool. It's Montana.
Right.
You know, you usually
calm. There's not a lot of psycho quarterbacks like that.
It's important to play that position with a level of, you know, an even keel, you know. And I don't think Rivers has that. And I think Rivers can play. I don't think that he is the stiff that everybody makes him out to be around here. But if he can't play, I don't think Billy Volek's coming in. And
plus the love-hate thing he's got going on with LT.
Who knows? Well, LT's a fraud. LT should have been playing in that game, and he backed out. He's a fraud. All right. Thank you for the call.
I'll talk about the checkdowns real quick. That throw that he made to Stallworth, there's not many quarterbacks in the league making that throw. So
no.
I don't know what that guy was talking about. But
that's why we love Tom Brady.
Yep. All right, guys. Have a good day.
Okay. Hey, thank you. That's Josh from Arlington, Virginia. I want to read this email because we're really being criticized, I guess, on the boards. This show.
The boards.
You know, the message boards, the various message boards out there. This is from Brad. He says, I just don't get it. My world is upside down. Did I imagine it, or did Maroney and Watson, the two targets of each one of your scorn and disgust all season, account for 260-plus yards of offense and three touchdowns in the biggest game of the year?
First of all.
Let me finish the email.
Let him get it out. Will you please?
Here is the link of you guys dogging Watson like he should be cut for 4 minutes. It's providing a lot of entertainment on Patriots boards. And he has a link of the audio of one of the shows. Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane, football savant Andy Hart. Ha, ha, ha. I'm looking forward to you guys talking about his drop for the rest of the show with maybe some commentary on those TDs that weren't really important if you know the team as well as you guys. You guys are just idiots guessing like anyone else. Being in the locker room provides you with nothing but bitterness. Well, we are idiots, that's for sure.
No question.
Yep.
I just want to say that, you know, in our defense, does the fact that they had a great game Saturday night mean that we're wrong about them as players?
And did Watson have a great game? I mean,
Maroney did.
Catching the ball is now a great game. He's so bad that now when he actually catches it, it's a great game.
You know, look, I stand behind my evaluations of both of those guys, to be honest with you.
Well,
I think Maroney has talent. We've said it all along.
Maroney and Watson are in the same class.
Not even
we
close.
Just listed them as disappointments. I believe that was when we sort of lumped them together. We talked about individual disappointing aspects of this season, and we said Maroney was one, Watson was one, and Adalys Thomas was one. Because you had expectations for those guys. And as we talked about earlier, Paul, I'm going to work on a story this week. What we saw from Maroney and Watson is what we thought we were going to see 3 months ago as contributing factors in this offense as other teams look to take away some of the other weapons. It took a lot longer to develop than we thought it would.
Right, and that was the point that you just made there at the end was what I was going to follow up and say. That's why, you know, when we were talking about the disappointment thing, I'm not disappointed in Nick Kasher's play, who a lot of people think might be the weakest of the offensive linemen. I'm not disappointed in his play. I think he's been solid. He is what he is. It's expectations.
Right.
You know, Ellis Hobbs, to be honest with you, I'm not overly disappointed in his play because I think he's a clear number two corner. I thought going against a lot of defenses that were going to be designed to stop Tom Brady in the passing game that Lawrence Maroney would have a lot of games like he did Saturday night. He hasn't.
Plus, they're both first-round picks.
But
you have a certain expectation
Ben
when you
Watson,
draft a guy in the first round.
Ben Watson, I think
it's the same argument as Daniel Graham. Port. It's the same argument dating all the way back Willie McGinnis. I have a certain expectation when you bring a guy in, when you place a value on him. You know, value is a big word for Bill Belichick. To me, if you're valued as a first-round pick, you need to produce up to that value. And I don't think Benjamin Watson has really done it. Is that unfair? I never said he stunk.
Well, the only,
I might
it's expectations.
Stunk.
These guys are first-round picks with a level of
you
ability.
You pick him in the third or fourth round, and he gives you this, and I'm saying he's a nice player.
The only thing I could say is I don't think you can use the numbers argument against him this year.
I'm not using numbers argument against either one of them.
Right. Yeah.
How many plays has he made compared to how many he had an opportunity to make is what I'm talking about.
Well, that's the thing. If you drop ball, you drop the ball. I mean, but I don't think you can say, well, he should have more catches.
No.
There's only one football being thrown around.
No,
this is not about,
it's about plays.
I told you, the game that I was most impressed with Lawrence Maroney, Fred, was a game that he had 40-something yards against the Giants.
Right.
I thought he ran out of his butt that
now,
night.
Now, to some degree with
very,
Watson,
very
it is catches because he's had the ball has been thrown to him and he didn't catch it. That's a drop. He should have more catches than he's had. But it's also about the athleticism, the ability to break tackles and make plays. And he hasn't done that all that often. He's had touchdowns this year.
He
had to set a career high for touchdowns.
Those two guys obviously had a level of ability that got them drafted in the first round. So this is expectations, that's all. They have higher expectations than some guys. That's why maybe it sounds like we're being a little hotter on them. But Saturday night, they both did the job. Maroney in particular, in my mind, was excellent.
And it is two different stories. Watson has fallen into he is who he is.
That's what I feel.
Maroney still has a chance to turn this thing. It can go, he could be inconsistent, he could be injury prone and never play, or he could be a superstar. He's still, to me, at that little fork in the road.
I'll give it to you the way someone said this on the pregame show on Saturday before the game. When you draft a guy in the first round as a tight end, you're looking for him to be outstanding in something, right? He's a Tony Gonzalez-type tight end, or he's just like an otherworldly blocking tight end, right? Which one is Watson?
Right.
Neither.
He's adequate at both.
Right.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's a stiff. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't be on the field.
There were people,
I don't think that he's as good as he was supposed to be.
When he was drafted, there were people who thought he was a guy who had all the measurables,
Antonio Gates.
Was a reason. No, but he hadn't produced. And there were some people who thought it was a reach as a first-round pick because he had the size, the build, the speed, all that.
And that's where Andy gets his looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane comment from.
That's a combine thing. There are guys, you know, there are guys that go to the combine, they test, and people look at him with their shirt off, literally, not just jokingly, look at him with their shirt off, and it affects the way they're drafted. I think he's a guy that got a boost from that, from the measurables.
But we will take our medicine because we were wrong. They played great Saturday night, and we definitely man enough. Tom's not here, so we can admit that we were wrong.
He's not man enough.
On the phone right now is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
What's up, John?
Good. Well, I have a few things I wanted to say, one of which is Eric there?
No,
he's not.
All right. Well, I would have said it anyway, but I can't believe what a pseudo-intellectual scumbag he is.
Your mom goes to college.
Gary, are you rolling on this?
I just think that, I mean, for a guy to say that he's, like, smarter than everyone else and he sort of keeps up on politics and stuff, and then say that Hannity and Combs is, like, a newsworthy show is just unbelievable. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, he's pretty pompous. We've pointed that out to
him. You guys are all smarter than Eric.
I agree. Well said.
Absolutely. Wanted to tell you that my godfather, it isn't just Volvo dealerships. He has many different kinds of
Toyota, Honda?
Okay. All the more reason to be advertising on Patriots.com.
Exactly.
And all the more reason to contact Andy Hart at Patriots.com with information on cars.
Paul's in the market, right, Paul?
I am, too. Why are we just fixating on Paul? I need two cars.
You can afford anything you want.
No, I can't. I need a discount.
I'll see what I can do.
Paul needs a car, though.
I'll be looking in the spring.
I'm so serious about you guys getting Mercury Morris for your show. He's going to say something asinine, and then your show is going to be talked about on national shows.
John, we got some good news for you.
Yeah?
He'll be on Thursday.
Nice.
Oh, beautiful.
Yep.
Do I get a cut of that now?
Sure.
A cut of nothing is nothing.
Yeah, we'll give you a tape of it. No,
I want double that.
Dan and Gary efforted it, and they
So Dan did it, and Gary's just globbing on and saying he was a part of it.
Well, But he will be on the show on Thursday. So that ought to be fun.
That's fantastic. To Gary, I say, you're welcome.
It is what it is.
I have not been listening for the first half hour, but I thought
we had some good stuff.
So performance in the first half and a really nice, solid second half.
Not for the defense.
I was worried.
Yeah, you should be worried about that defense. Well, I think, play well.
Yeah, I think the offense was at the top of its game from start to finish, and it needed to be. I think if Brady was, Brady was 26 of 28, maybe if he was 22 of 28, the game might have been different. I mean, I think he needed to be perfect.
Or if Garrard had two more completions, the game would have been different because Northcutt and Jones dropped touchdowns.
What did you think of the second half performance of the defense?
I thought
it was very similar to the first half.
I thought they were lucked out and benefited from a couple drops.
These numbers might be off slightly, but I worked out the breakdown when we were writing our stuff up post-game. In the first half, the Jags ran 30 plays for 185 yards. They scored two touchdowns. In the second half, they ran 26 plays for 165 yards, and they had two touchdown passes dropped, so they ended up kicking two field goals instead. To me, there was no difference between the level of performance by the defense from one half to the other.
Right.
I'm concerned about the defense is basically what I'm trying to say.
Well, if we can just make it through the next two games, win those two, and then completely revamp the linebackers next year.
Well, the whole back end might get revamped.
I think as long as you have this offense, I don't think it's that big a concern.
Well, you also might not have this offense.
Well, that would be a concern, Andy.
Did we pass John Beeson, or did we just miss out on John Beeson?
We passed on him the first time, and then he went right out. I think he went 25, didn't he?
We
could have taken him in the Merriweather
spot. He went in the in-between, yeah.
We probably should have taken him and then looked for a safety somewhere else.
Yes.
I mean, it's early to say that, but...
Right. But based on what the two players have done to this point, Beeson has played for Carolina much more. Now, it's a different team, so you don't know, but...
Different scheme. Merriweather, they liked Beeson, too,
right,
though,
and Merriweather, we've seen, hasn't done a lot here, even though he got more playing time over the last couple weeks, so... Yeah, I liked Beeson. He's very athletic. He would have definitely added some athleticism to the linebackers. You know, whether he would have been a perfect fit or not, who knows?
All right.
One more thing.
Okay.
Troy Brown, was he active for that game?
Yes.
He was, but he did not play.
Huh. All right. Well, thanks a lot. Great listening to you guys, and I will look forward to Mercury Morris on Thursday.
All right, John, get back on that picket line. Yeah. Get back to working on our script. We need to make money off that.
I think you may have seen some Troy Brown as a punt returner, but the Jags didn't have to punt. They only punted
Bingo!
Once. So I think that maybe, if that was a game where, say, the Jags had to punt five or six times, he may have lightened Wes Welker's load a little bit by throwing Troy back there for one or two of them.
Josh, who called in earlier, said that once Watson caught his first touchdown, I declared the game is over. Watson is catching TDs. It's over. Which leads me to bring
in...
Yeah,
so screw you idiots on those boards. That's a Patriots fan saying that.
Paul does a thing every game where he gives me the nod. And the nod is when he thinks the game is over. And, it's a certain... Something happens in a game where Paul says... That's it. It's over. Patriots are going to win.
And he's 17-0 this year.
So, and what I would like to do is, there was a point in the game where you gave me that nod.
I think it was when Northcutt dropped the pass. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're not supposed to say. I want people to try to guess.
Well, I don't. To be honest with you, I remember. I don't ever remember giving it to you. This game.
But I'm going to go. It was when.
But so let's see if in the second hour people can try to figure out when Paul gave me the nod that this game was over.
Why don't, since I kind of let the cat out of the bag, why don't we go to when I'm going to give the nod in the San Diego game?
Kickoff. Coin toss.
Absolutely.
Oh, Patriots got the ball and score.
All right.
Wait, I haven't given out my...
Well, nobody cares.
Just real quick. Cleveland Steamer.
Nobody cares.
Cleveland Steamer.
That's the Urban Dictionary word of the day.
Which Urban Dictionary, I have to thank them. I was here very early, and they provided a good hour and a half of... tear-filled laughter and entertainment prior to the game when that's a funny website. Anybody who hasn't been to UrbanDictionary.com needs to go there and do some research. It's very funny. Cleveland Steamer.
Let's see. Pat in San Fran says, which would you rather see? The look on Bill Polian's face when Peyton Manning's last pass of the season went through Dallas Clark's hands, or the look on Tony Romo's face when Jessica Simpson tells him she's decided to start seeing Eli Manning?
That would be funny.
Andy liked that one.
I thought it was fun. I heard a thing, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it was on the radio this morning, and they portrayed it as true, that there was a plane flying over Dallas Stadium saying Good Luck, Tony, Love, Jessica?
I don't know.
Now, they don't know whether it's one of those things where she actually did it or whether somebody did it just to be funny and stupid like the Bonds-Belichick one
right,
here.
I would assume it would be
but
the latter.
But either way, it's funny. Either way, it's funny if you watch it. But can you really see it very well there, though, with the hole just
the
in the middle?
Fans can't. Because the crowd is covered.
Somebody wasted their $500 or whatever it is.
Well, Florio says that at one point during the game, a lot of his readers have pointed out that Romo realized he was on camera and gave his ear a little tug, like a message to someone, and they're thinking that it was to her.
All right, now, if he's giving her signals on camera, then I'm on board with this relationship is causing him to lose.
That's
because
an issue.
Yeah.
I don't
care what he
does. I don't
buy
that for a second.
I don't really either.
I mean, if that's true, then that's an issue.
He said he replayed it, and sure enough, he's tugging at his ear.
Maybe his ear itched.
That's why.
Well, I don't know. It seemed like one of those Carol Burnett things. I don't know. You don't know who Carol Burnett is.
Well, I sort of know, but
I
don't know what
you're talking about.
JD says, I'm sure you guys will dissect San Diego and discuss this new amazing Patriots acquisition called a running game. So other than that, what's your biggest worry? I am the clown who asks, what is the Patriots' biggest worry in the postseason? Other than losing, who do you now want the Patriots to play when they beat San Diego, Green Bay, or the Giants? Who are you more worried about, if either? And also with Craig, I enjoyed his visit. People who complain can listen to something else.
I'd be more worried about Green Bay if I was a Patriots fan. You've played the Giants. You beat the Giants. I think Bill would be better suited to come up with a game plan. And I think Green Bay has, when they're on, I think they can score with almost anyone. So I think you could see them in a Colts-like shootout performance against this team. And Paul and I fell in love with their secondary and Atari Bigby, who apparently likes to hit anything that moves on a slow track.
Boy, I was impressed with his performance the other day. But and Felger told you something that made sense, that
he's a
little slow and he was helped by the slow track at
Would have
at
no
Lambeau
chance
Field.
On a desert field.
All right. Let's see. Joe says, really looking forward to today's show. In an effort to highlight what I thought were the six most interesting unexpected storylines of Saturday night's game, I ask you to complete this true-false as your Friday selves, not your today selves.
That's going to be hard. Go ahead.
What is that mean?
One, Chad Jackson will return all Jacksonville's kicks. True or false? What would you have thought?
I would have said false. Probably. I didn't know that Hobbs's injury was that significant.
Brandon Merriweather will play a lot of defensive snaps.
I would have said true.
Because
he had been.
He says he doesn't know the exact number that damn Mike Reese is slacking. Randall Gay will start at cornerback in place of Ellis Hobbs.
I would have said false again, because I didn't know that Hobbs' injury was that significant.
Maroney will get 20-plus carries, have 120-plus yards, and catch a 30-plus yard pass.
I definitely would have said false on the 30-plus yard pass, but... Yeah, I probably would have said false on the 120 yards.
False.
Ben Watson will catch two TDs.
I would have thought that had a chance of happening. We talked about the tight end against Jacksonville. Last year, David Thomas had a really big game down there. And in the playoff game 2 years ago against Jacksonville, Watson had his best game as a pro.
And finally, Randy Moss will be thrown to once.
Definitely false.
On that, was Moss locked down in coverage to the point where it made it impossible to even try to him? Can't tell on TV, and the announcers never made a point to show replays. Look, Moss is double covered, etc. But given Brady's propensity to throw to Moss, even in double coverage throughout the year, I got the feeling that Moss was decoying. If so, I hate that idea. Why voluntarily take your highest impact player out of the game? Your thoughts?
Well, I don't know if
well,
I
if
would
he's
say
he's decoying. He's in the game. He's there for a reason.
But I don't know if I would say he's decoying. They could have thrown it to him. It's not like there were two guys in his pockets the entire time. If you know, we've seen Brady throw to him more covered than he was at times against the Jags, but. It's clear they were just going to take the check down stuff, and it worked. And,
perfection.
In the postseason.
They didn't even get caught into third downs.
Right. And in the postseason, you know, maybe Brady turns up his risk reward meter a little bit and says it's not worth it to force it to him. You know, they got the record, so they're not forcing that anymore like everybody was worried about. Maybe it's a little different.
Maybe he just didn't feel you needed to take that risk in that type of game.
Right. And, you know, the other thing that I thought that was kind of interesting.
Calendar's turn. Moss is a little older, a little slower now.
Tom went into the Jacksonville locker room, and they talked about the possibilities that they did it. You know, they had Brian Williams on him to press coverage, and they had safety help for the most part over the top. One of the guys that Tom talked about said that he wasn't necessarily blanketed, but it was almost like Moss had decided that I'm not going to be a big part of this game. And he kind of was just kind of out there and going through the motions, and that maybe they weren't necessarily – he knew they weren't going to be going to him, and he wasn't really doing all he could to make himself available. And I don't know if that's true, but that was somebody from the Jacksonville perspective that talked to Tom, said that they didn't really do a great job of covering him. He just kind of covered himself. Now, I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Let's see. Matt from Quincy says, Schadenfreude and Polion. Schadenfreude is when you take pleasure in the misery of others. It is one of my favorite hobbies.
It's like when Fred roots for other teams to get injuries.
With that in mind, I decided to listen to the Bill Polion show this morning. A couple of highlights. In Polion's opinion, the officiating was horrible. Specifically, he thinks the refs do not call enough holding. Tell that to Eric Weddle. He is very angry about play clock issues, and he had a very cloudy explanation of why the ref called a touchback when the Colts had a chance to down a punt inside the 5-yard line.
It was definitely a touchback. He stepped right on the goal line.
Yeah, he did. By the way, if you listen to him for a while, it's clear he is not completely familiar with the rules. The common theme to all this was how he repeatedly stated he was on the competition committee and these issues would be addressed. I've asked this to you guys before, but his obvious use of the competition committee as a weapon is a ridiculous conflict. Every year when things don't go his way, he uses the committee as a blunt instrument to enforce his will. Absolutely ridiculous.
I agree with that.
He is fascinating, though, very entertaining, and a complete a-hole. And by the way, it's time to call BS on how he pronounces Patriots. At one point, he was in a stream of consciousness rant and clearly said Patriots. A couple of times later, when he had time to think about it, he said Patriots. Bill Polion is a BS artist.
So he's like, Fred, you've slipped a couple times today and said Polion by accident, but he
doesn't. Right. Well, I'm
you're
saying,
just learning.
I'm not pretending he is. I'm coming right out and saying I'm making fun of this guy.
That's right.
As far as the competition committee, he can't make things happen unilaterally. It's a committee.
But he is using it, I think, for the benefit of his own team.
I used to say the same thing about Don Shula
all the time when he was always on that rules committee. I think it stinks. I don't think guys that are in the game currently should be on those committees. I think that's a
But my point is he can't just say, my team got screwed with this. We're changing this for next year. There's other guys on there that have to agree with him.
Right. That's what he does. He beats you into submission.
Or they already hate the Patriots and decide to make changes anyway.
No, but my point is I think that he goes about his business trying to do things to help his own team. That's not what you're supposed to do.
You can't come out of a game and say, I didn't like that, now I'm going to – he's got to look at the league as a whole, not just things that he happened to his team.
I got no problem
He's supposed to be for the better good
of
the game.
I know. That's why they shouldn't have the conflict of interest and be in the committee.
Oh, okay. I agree with that.
Right.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do something that's for the good of the game, not for the good of the Indianapolis Colts.
Right.
Just because I thought he was
right.
The good
of the game don't pay my check.
Just because I thought he was right in 03 to complain about the officiating, I thought the officiating was bad in that game, doesn't mean that he should be able to go out 5 years later
Somebody
and
else
say,
should do it.
This touchback thing is ridiculous. It was a touchback. The guy somehow didn't think to turn around and drop the ball before he went into the end zone.
Terrible,
stupid play on his player's part.
Brian says, Jerry Jones is effing scary looking. Hey, Frank, Huge Melon, and Mr. Media Whore. Just kidding, Paul. Is it true that Jerry Jones had placed two NFC Championship games tickets in each Dallas player's locker prior to the game?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they reported it on
TV. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What are they thinking? What are these people thinking? Why should they focus on any other thing except the game that they're about to play?
Jerry Jones did that?
Well, had it done.
No, yeah. That's
I don't think
saying.
He actually went locker to locker.
I didn't mean that he did that physically.
Yeah, two extra tickets.
I don't understand that. Let's see. I agree that T.O. is a ticking time bomb. I'll be attending the AFC Championship game on Sunday. I have had season tickets for 14 years and usually don't miss a game, but this season it will be my first game as I was unable to go to a game this year due to cancer. Well, sorry about that. I am now healthy again. Good. And I'm looking forward to my first game capping a magical season at Gillette. Keep up the great work. So that's Brian. And in studio, live with us right now, is not Mercury Morris, but Eric Scalavino, who has just come from practice.
Your mom goes to college.
There was no practice, and locker room hasn't started yet. There was a big change in the schedule today for who was going to be available. And
PR whatnot, not quite ready for the big show.
What's that?
Well, what's going on? Tell us what's happening.
Well,
out there.
Bill started late, of course, as usual. But the change was they were going to add some players to the rotation of who was at the podium today. Actually, every day this week. So that hasn't started yet. That's supposed to be at about 1:15 now. At the same time, the locker room will open. So we'll go in there and talk to some players there afterwards. But every day this week, there's going to be at least two or three players going to the podium in addition to Bill. So Pretty active week. Some of the ones that we were interested in getting to, so that'll help us out.
So Garrett is going to the Ravens, according to NFL Network's Adam Schefter. Breaking
really?
News.
Oh, so much for wanting to take over in Dallas, huh?
What's that breaking news? Sorry.
Jason Garrett's going to be named
Ravens.
Coach.
I heard about that this morning, yeah, that he was actually there with his wife.
Wow.
In Baltimore.
So now Dallas lost the guy they might want to turn it over to if, you know, they got rid of Phillips. Mm.
The ship is sinking.
That's why if you really liked Jason Garrett, why not just hire him last year? You never know how it's going to unfold. I'm sure that Jerry Jones in the back of his mind said, well, I can always hire this guy myself. He's here. And you never know.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't fire Phillips.
So he lost Garrett. Now he's got that hayseed for his head coach. Good job, Jerry.
Honestly, when I was watching the end of that game, I was thinking, you know, after his post-game press conference, he could be out of there and Garrett could be, you know, the next morning they could have made that change. That's what I was thinking was going to happen. But
maybe Garrett didn't want it.
So what else do you have to report? Anything?
Well, you know, Bill was a little bit testy.
Was he?
Today.
What's going on? Too many demands this week. He doesn't like
this. A lot
of
demands this week.
He doesn't like this.
Somebody asked him, some out-of-town reporter asked him about the weather conditions coming up this Sunday, and he cut her off before she could even finish the question,
well,
saying, I don't care about the weather. It's the same for both teams. You know, we're worried about the Chargers.
So she didn't get the smiling version, which is, you know, I've played that game before. You tell them on Monday it's going to snow, and then by Saturday night it's sunny out, and he laughs it off.
Yeah,
got
no,
the cranky
that,
answer this week?
Yeah, yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah,
no joking this week.
There was no joking at all today.
No questions about YouTube clips from Andy Hart this week.
No, at least not today. I mean, who knows? Tomorrow could be a different story. But
that's true. You got to feel it day by day.
You got to feel it. And today was not the day for that. It'd
be quite a story if on Saturday night the sun was out.
Just so you know.
It's quite a story now. I have a smile on my face for that one, too.
We talked earlier. Brad sent us an email killing us.
at least I am. You're jealous that you're not.
About Ben Watson,
still
and
to get
you
paid.
Guys explain your stance. Brad responds again, Watson isn't any good because he was drafted number 32 in the draft.
Again,
that's beyond stupid.
Again, you're just not listening. No one's saying that he's not any good.
Both of those TDs were huge.
Moron.
Most of your criticism from that audio was how the guy makes no big plays. Effing ponderous crap.
Now he has two.
And just saying we are big enough to admit when we are wrong isn't really admitting you were wrong if that's all you say.
Why, it works for Parcells.
Wow, Brad is just not happy with us.
He obviously can't listen.
He doesn't listen.
I mean, we
I
said,
apologize that you're deaf. I mean,
there's a level of expectation that comes with being a highly regarded player. He's not a stiff. We think he can play. We don't think he makes as many plays as he has opportunities to make. Is that? I mean, I don't know how you can state it any more clearly than that.
Doesn't matter how you state it.
On Saturday night, we were wrong. He made plays. That's not like a couching it or saying that, you know, we're not saying we're wrong. We were wrong.
And Scott from Washington says, I'm surprised to hear you guys are getting so much flack from the message boards, mainly because I didn't think anyone paid you much mind. But really, what you said about Maroney, Watson, and Thomas has been pretty darn fair. For most of the season, those guys did not live up to our preseason's expectations, period. It is wonderful that Maroney and Watson were outstanding last weekend. That is just fantastic and a huge bonus to an offense that has been screaming, along with lesser contributions from those guys than we had previously hoped. Let's hope they keep it up through the playoffs. About the Chargers game, how much does our defense concern you against the Chargers offense?
Big time.
Well, it also depends on who's out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still worried about the defense. You throw out there whoever they're, Malamalamulua and Volek, and he might pull an A.J. Feely. It's just to the point where I just don't have a lot of confidence in the pass defense here.
Certainly, if Rivers could play, I would have every bit as much. I mean, it wouldn't matter to me at all because I think Michael Turner's pretty good, and he's no LT, but he's pretty good. I have concerns over the Patriots' defense.
And you also wonder, well, they're going to prepare for LT because he's not out, but you wonder how their focus defensively will be. You know, they clearly talked last week about trying to take away the run, and, you know, maybe that played a part in the holes they left in pass defense. If LT's out there, you're clearly focusing on him more than if Michael Turner's out there because of what he can do, not only as a runner, but as a receiver. You know, your defense starts with LT, I think, if he's on the field. You have to.
Two things, though. I think they have to worry about Vincent Jackson.
Could be.
Obviously. I mean, they know Chris Chambers from all the times that they played in Miami, but Jackson's been having some
couple
huge
of really
playoff
good games.
But I just don't feel like you can put it all on the line like they did this week for 2 weeks in a row on the road and beat it. I mean, if they can, good for them, but I just think they're going to have a hard time doing that.
I just agree with Paul. It's to the point where this offense is going to win the Super Bowl. They are going to score 38 points to beat a team 38, 35, mm-hmm. or 30, whatever it is. If the offense falters down in the next two games, I think you could see them lose. I'm not willing to put all my eggs in a defensive basket and say they're going to make a stop that we need.
You know, James in the UK has set up a MySpace page all about PFW and Progress.
Nice.
Got your pictures on it and everything.
Yeah.
Is it our real pictures?
I didn't authorize that.
Well, it's up there.
Your likeness against your wishes?
I'm going to have to start a website.
First of all, I don't want any part of MySpace, period.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We're too
old.
I'm
40 years
old.
Well, you're on there. But it says, on to football. I've listened to you guys bash Watson over the past weeks and feel it's about time I chimed in to defend him. I won't talk about his TD catches in the last game, but instead I will go back over the season to make my argument. In week one, he had 19 yards and a TD. Week two, he had 49 yards and a TD. Week three, he had 20 yards and a TD. Week four, he had 15 yards. Week five, 107 yards, two TDs. Week six, he left the game early with one catch and 38 yards. I think after the few games that we played with no real tight end, they rushed him back in that only now he's starting to get more healthy. Either way, I don't think you could call him a bust. Can you?
Do we have the rest of the games there, or is that it?
Well, that's all he went through.
So I would say that's two games, and I'll count the playoff game. Three games that you would say he had good production. I mean, 19 yards and a touchdown is not a good game.
Right.
I mean, just because one of his catches happened to be for a touchdown, that doesn't constitute a good game. He had 49 yards one game and a touchdown. That's a good game. He had 107 and two. That's a great game. But I wouldn't necessarily say 15 yards and a touchdown. Well, geez, he's making plays.
Your Christian Fourier, or
exactly.
You're just the guy that caught
Daniel
a touchdown
Graham
pass.
Did that for a while. All he did was catch touchdown passes. And he didn't catch anything else.
The bottom line is a big part of our criticism is the ability to catch the football, whether it's in practice, whether it's in games. We've seen that that's an issue for him. He does not have natural
Fred,
soft
are being,
hands.
Are we being unfair here? You know, expecting more out of Benjamin Watson. You're the fan. You know, the fan.
Based on Peter King said he thought it was going to be, and he hasn't been that.
Tom Brady said he was going to be a
Pro
Bowl
tight
end.
No one says that anymore.
Have you noticed that?
Good call by them.
Are we the only ones that noticed that?
I mean, if he came in with the same expectations like a Kevin Boss came in with, we'd be like, yeah, this guy's pretty good.
Right, but was Kevin Boss drafted in the first round?
Right. That's the whole thing.
I'm going back to Bill's value thing.
It's just a matter of expectation. That's all it is.
You buy something for $100, you expect to get $100 worth of value out of it.
He's a good tight end. I think everyone agrees that, right?
Yeah, sure.
But he was a first-round pick.
He's a serviceable player. I think he's a good player.
Daniel Graham,
so you're against him too, Eric?
I'm agreeing that these guys are saying that he's – you expected more from a first-round pick than what you've gotten out of him.
We didn't say he's Matt Krinchek.
I think that's the tenor of what everybody thinks, is that we think the guy shouldn't even be collecting a check, shouldn't be in the league. That's not what we're saying.
It's just he's closer to Ellis Hobbs and Nick Kazier, who come up in that joke game, who's the worst starter. You know, Ellis Hobbs, is he the weak link to the defense? He's closer to them than he is to a productive first-round pick who's a consistent part of your team. And that's what you're supposed to draft in the first round. I mean, Logan Mankins, drafted in the same spot.
Now
Logan Mankins is an all-pro.
Right.
Or pro bowler. Sorry, I forget. It's Matt Light who's the all-pro.
Second team all-pro, though.
Yeah, I don't count those. If you're an all-pro, you're first team all-pro.
I'm just saying.
But
you're right.
I mean, that's the comparison. That's value. Obviously, that's a high value. You could get by with less than that. But that you have an expectation as a first-round pick to provide something to a team.
Yeah.
Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn could end up being a very good return man, but if he doesn't ever contribute on offense, he's not a good top 10 pick.
But even Ted Ginn, what he did this year, okay, if he was taken in the third round, people would say, that's a good rookie year. Mm-hmm. But he was taken with the ninth pick.
Right.
Expectation comes with where you're
the only guy who would even be considered a good pick in the first is Devin Hester. And even him would probably be considered a disappointment if he didn't contribute on offense.
Let's see.
Because he doesn't on defense.
Well, defense, you mean.
Well, they moved him to offense this year.
TG and Joycey says, okay, TG. I was joking last week with my question to Hans and Franz about what they thought of North Turner now, and Andy was kind enough to give us one of his fast-talking short-sentence rants. I just can't figure the charges out. They win with Marty. They lose with Marty. They lose with Norm. They win with Norv. They beat the Colts without LT and Rivers. All week long, I didn't think they could do it, but I wanted San Diego to beat Indy. I was sure that Indy could beat the Pats in the AFC game. Fred's Bob Sanders-led defense had me believing. Is this a case of watch out for what you wish for? is San Diego the more dangerous team? Belichick always talks away what the other team does well, takes away what the other team does well. What is he going to focus on with the Chargers? LT is the obvious answer, but is that really it? Where are the threats? Cromartie, Sproles, Turner, Merriman, Phillips, Weddle?
Maybe that point counterpoint wasn't Jackson. As dumb as I thought it was, because a lot of people seem to be talking about that.
I think you got to watch out, especially in the way pass defense has been. You got to watch out for Vincent Jackson. Yeah.
Apparently
yeah.
Eric did, and Andy Hart like watched a game and fell in love with a player.
He's my James Harrison. Chambers is the guy that I still think gives that offense a whole different dimension. They've been a very, very good offense the last couple of years, but I don't think they had a dynamic offense.
Right.
You know, if LT didn't break one, they didn't have a lot of big playability. Now I think they have big playability with those two guys, Jackson and Chambers, mm-hmm. to go along with LT and, when he's healthy, Gates. But they didn't make a lot of big passing touchdown plays like the one Chambers made the other day, a 30-yard touch, which, by the way, was a perfect throw.
Great, yeah.
Perfect throw and catch.
Yeah.
I think Chambers...
I think that he's given that off. Eric Parker doesn't make that play last year.
But I also think Chambers is... He fits in on that team because I think he's like Sean Merriman. I think he can have great games and great numbers and great talent. And then I think there's sometimes you hit him in the hands and he drops it. He'll make the one-handed, you know, cannon photo of the year.
Vincent Jackson's a very similar kind of player. I think that he drops as many big ones as he catches.
Difference being he's a little younger.
Now, this year, this postseason, Vincent Jackson's had two great games.
Right.
And he's been, the focal point of that passing game. He had a 100-yard game in the first game. I think he had 90-something this past one against the Colts. Chambers had a 100-yard game in the first one, too. So all of a sudden, the team that had no wide receivers is getting production out of wide receiver.
And the issue is, and we've talked about it, they're a talented team. They have a lot of talent. But if you're a talented team that doesn't necessarily have the great coaching, and that's where you lack consistency, because emotion and talent will lead you to some very good games, but it'll lead you astray sometimes when you don't have Bill Belichick pulling the strings and keeping you on the straight
and
narrow.
TG also says, just what was Rivers yelling at the Indy fans after the game anyways? He kind of reminds me of Ryan Leaf. He's the kind of guy that needs those kind of leash on him, you know, to control that emotion.
You don't talk to me, all right?
I'm not sure.
Knock it off!
Well, first of all, I'm not sure it's a word, but I'm not sure he's leashable.
And, you know, it's funny, TG's next point reminds me of something. What do you think the biggest subject we got email, you know, besides our game, what do you think was the biggest subject we got emails on over the weekend from our fans? Single most emailed
subject.
This
has to do with the Colts game?
Any other of the other games.
How about...
Well, I assume the Colts game dominated.
And it had to do with the Colts game.
Adam Vinatieri.
No.
The officiating.
The officiating having it in for the trying to get the Colts through.
Nope.
Dan Klucko.
The single most...
Punt, pass, and kick?
Exactly.
Oh,
that girl
the
getting
girl.
Booed
yes.
was the single most emailed subject to us.
Yeah, I felt bad for
how everybody
so
thought
for
that the Colts fans were so bad. But I can tell you something.
Oh, I know. They
if there were
here,
somebody in a Colts, we would have booed them.
No, it would have been dead silence because that's what they're always
doing. TJ says the same thing.
You still got to feel bad for the poor kid because she had this look like
they should have. But I think she would understand it. She's in a sea of blue Colts jerseys. She probably, you know, if she's in a punt, pass, and kick, she follows football, the Patriots. She understands the rivalry.
But if you saw the expression on her face, it was kind of like she was like, what did I do? You know, like, poor thing.
I thought that, I just thought it was kind of funny, to be honest with you. Because
I think it's kind of cool. Would you rather have the 12 people pretending to clap or the whole stadium booing you? It's like it's kind of like you've made
it. And I'll bet you anything that, you know, I didn't really notice much of a change in her face. But I bet anything after the fact, she probably is looking at it. This is kind of cool. Like, I got 50,000 people to
boo,
react to me.
Right.
See,
you know?
She was
whereas everybody else got the pretend we care
exactly.
cheer.
I was hoping that they would show a shot of her flipping them off. You know, that would have been hilarious.
She's not Philip Rivers.
My wife, God bless her. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, she's just a little. I said, they're booing the shirt, not her.
They're not booing. Well, yeah, they were.
More on Watson. Emailer says, I hear what you guys are saying, but you did call the guy a stiff and worse things. Seems like you're the ones not listening.
I said he looks like Tarzan, play like Jane.
I just don't think he's as good as he is supposed to be. Okay? So that's a disappointment, stiff, whatever you want to call it. That's what I think of him.
So there you go.
I really don't know how much clearer I can be. On
apparently,
that.
Ben Watson really tipped this guy's girlfriend pretty well.
Right.
Shane from Miami, I remember before last year's championship game, all you guys were so confident going into the Colts game. Miami, here we come and all that. Well, Arizona has to wait. You have to beat the Chargers first, and that's not a given. This is a tough team, and the Pats will have to bring their A game, or they can probably and probably will lose. Sorry to piss on your parade, but let's keep it real, says Shane.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I think we're going to be in Arizona for a week.
I just think we can't win.
You don't think the Patriots can win?
No. I mean, we on PFW in Progress can't win. When we say that the other team can win, then we're being
negative
yeah. and trying to talk up the other team. When we think the Patriots are going to win,
right?
Well,
somehow,
personally,
I get
a lot of pleasure out of this, because if it was me, I'd be a homer. But when these guys say it, they're being objective. So that's okay.
I'm not trying to be objective or anything. I'm just telling you how I think.
I know, and that's what all I do when I get called a homer.
But what you think is always Patriots are great. Patriots are great.
Well, they are. They are great.
But
they didn't win the Super Bowl the last 2 years. So
no,
you're
but
wrong
they're
those
still
years.
Great. They came one first down from
yes,
doing it.
I know. But you're a broken record.
I wasn't calling him great in 1991, 1990, because they stunk.
Plus, you didn't work here.
No, but you've been calling him great since
ever since you got a check that
said
cracked on the bottom.
Yeah, I've been calling him great since they've been great.
Since week three of 2001, you've never picked them to lose a game.
I've been pretty accurate. Pretty damn accurate, if I might say so myself.
But it's not like you're picking
the Jets once.
It's not like you're picking them to win the game.
I went with the Colts twice, too. You know? But
and you lost both those games, probably.
Anyway, no, it's got nothing to do with... I just think we can't win. No matter what we say, we get made fun of.
Unless people haven't been paying attention since as long as I've been on the show.
I just say
random stuff all the time.
You thought the Colts would beat them.
I did.
Now you think the Patriots will beat the Chargers.
If they bring Fred's theory that you should be able to challenge the champion into effect in the NFL,
right.
and the Colts can challenge them on February 11th, I'm picking the Colts.
The only thing is I'm not going to cover the game.
Heck no.
Dana in the UK, in celebration of the victory on Saturday, can Fred say, do you want to make $5 the hard way? Do you want to make $5 the hard way?
You want to make
$5 the hard way?
That was a perfect, he did it perfectly.
I was going to say, he brought his A game for that one.
Well done.
Richard Seymour at the podium.
Yeah,
apparently.
I'm off to the locker room, guys.
See ya.
Okay.
Go do something.
Why, what's going on in there?
There's naked men. He's got to run.
Yeah. See, yeah. See. Nice job, Fred.
You're
Thanks.
Welcome.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
Look at now. He's going to cry himself to sleep on his tiny pillow.
And we didn't even play that clip of the emailer ripping him.
You want to make $5 the
right.
hard
or
way?
Or phone caller, actually. We'll tell you later. Enjoy the locker room.
Pseudo-intellectual.
I know you will.
Mike from Erie, Pennsylvania.
That's what the guy called you, a pseudo-intellectual.
Who did?
Guy who called in. John, wasn't
head,
it?
His ears are red.
Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania, do you think the new philosophy in the NFL is that offense wins championships? With the new rules in the league which help the offense, do you agree that teams will focus more on the offense, as the Patriots and Colts have done, and just make the opponent match us point for point in their game plan? An average defense will hold an average offense. The Patriots have shown the league what can be done with greatness on offense with all the different formations and receiver options. How can a defense possibly game plan to cover all the different looks that a great offense can throw at them? Then let the defense do their job. Just don't hold, interfere, face mask, or hit 5 yards or more off the line.
Well, I've said in the past, I think if you're great at anything, you have a good chance to win a championship.
I agree. I think there's a lot of teams that have been great on offense and just okay on defense and have won. And I think, you know, the 99 Rams certainly come to mind. And you might say statistically that defense was at a certain level. It wasn't.
Right.
It showed it the next year. They got by because they beat you to death, much like this offense does right now for the 2007 Patriots. I think that those San Francisco teams had good defenses for sure, but they were great because you couldn't stop them offensively. I think there's a lot of teams in this league. The only one that I can really think of that couldn't do anything offensively and won was Baltimore. They just couldn't do it. I mean, even Tampa Bay was passable offensively. They won with defense for sure, but they were okay offensively. That Baltimore team was terrible offensively, and they won just because they were otherworldly on defense.
Yeah, I just fall back on, if you guarantee me I can have either the by far the best offense or defense in the league, I'll take it.
One of the two? Either
right.
one?
Yeah, I'll take it. As opposed to if you tell me I have the middle of the road offense,
right.
and 15th defense and 15th, 16th defense, 16th offense, I'll take the team that's great
now,
at something.
If you had to choose, which one would you take?
Probably the offense. Right
yeah,
now.
I would take the offense, too.
Alex, but I do think it's a different
game. At the
very
least, I'm winning a lot of games and I'm entertaining. Maybe I'm not good enough to win it all. But I'm entertaining, and I'm winning a lot of games.
But I do think it's somewhat the era, too. Like, no, that's you turn the clock back to like the 72 Dolphins where you're just smashing into people, I'll take the great defense because I think low scoring games, I just think was a different era. I think the way it is now, I would take the great offense.
Alex from Munich, Germany.
Munich. Gary, get a pin.
I was really impressed by the way the Pats played on Saturday. Their offense was looking great the whole game, but I didn't like the defense in the first half. The only way we stopped Jacksonville in the first half was by forcing a turnover, but never forced a three and out or punt. When we play San Diego, we have to defend the pass better than against Jacksonville because the Jaguars didn't have great weapons and still drove down the field, and San Diego has some weapons. But I like the way we stopped the two-headed monster and a great game by the L-Train. So this weekend, I hope the Packers come past the Giants. We can see a Super Bowl 31 rematch. That was the first Super Bowl I ever watched, and it made me a Pats fan and a football fan for life. I was 6 years old, and I just moved from Germany to Boston.
Wow.
Great job, guys. You're a big part of my week leading up to the Pats game.
He's a youngin'. It's like 18.
Yeah,
defense needs to play better. Although not really. We've already said that. There's a chance it continues to play crappy and
the offense
outscores.
Is just so good. I mean, that was an amazing performance.
Brad, do you have any fear that there's any chance that Brady has a bad game in the next 2 weeks?
No.
3 weeks?
No.
Because if that doesn't happen, then I think they win.
No.
I think the only way...
You know how we used to feel about Vinatieri? We come out there and...
Before he left.
That's
You know what's funny?
That's how I feel about
Brady. He comes out on the field the other day. It's funny you brought that up. That first field goal attempt, and he was 0 for 3 from 40.
Right.
His longest one all year was 39. 46-yard attempt. Right down the middle.
And not only right down the middle, hit the net.
Hit the top of the net.
Right.
Yeah.
Way up. I mean
that kick looked like a 25-yarder.
You know what I was even more surprised with? Every single one of his kickoffs well into the end zone. Now, they took some out, but every one of them was at least 4 or 5 yards deep in the end zone. He had a couple of touchbacks, and they ran some out that they actually had decent coverage on.
Bertone in Lake Worth, Florida. As far as Ben Watson's production is concerned to me this year, I think it's kind of unfair to expect big numbers from him when you have guys like Randy Moss and Wes Welker putting up the huge numbers as they have this year.
Whoa. He's had both chances. He had the chance to be the guy, the one and only weapon, and he didn't put up a huge season. Now he has a chance to work with great weapons around him, and he didn't put up a huge season.
And I'm going to reiterate that.
How many ways are we going to show it?
We're not talking about numbers. We're talking about cashing in on your opportunities. I think he does about 60% of the time he catches a ball that he has a chance to catch. That's not good.
You got to also take
Why do you have that smirk on?
Because I'm watching T.O. say goodbye to his friends.
Oh, I thought
you got to also take into account that he had an injury that was bothering him. There's only one football to go around. You can't expect everyone to have huge numbers. I also think a lot of it has to do with the game plan for that particular opponent. I think the same goes for Maroney. So,
let me ask you something. Do you think Jabbar Gaffney had a good year?
Yes.
Do you think Dante Stallworth had a good year?
Yes.
Do you think Watson had more or less opportunities than Jabbar Gaffney to make plays?
I'd say same, about the same,
okay,
probably.
So how would you say that Watson's year was?
Well, he had a lot of touchdowns.
But his year.
He had a career touchdown, right?
How many touchdowns did he have?
Seven.
Gaffney
eight,
had five?
Eight.
I thought he had eight.
Okay, so
Gaffney had five or six.
So you're saying Watson did better?
No, I'm saying Gaffney did better.
But Watson had more touchdowns.
It is a game about scoring points, Paul. Can you get back to your first set of questions? I think you could keep going down the roster, by the way. Ray Ventrone, did he have a good year? And I think Fred would say, yes.
Oh, no, that wasn't my point. My point was that
if they're on the roster,
numbers,
they had a good year.
In order
year.
To be 17-0, you have
numbers.
To have 53 guys having a good year.
Watson probably had more catches than Gaffney, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think he had as good a year. I think every time the ball generally got thrown to Gaffney, he caught it.
And most of the
time, your job.
In big chances. He's a guy that would get like a chance at a key point, and he made the catch. He might have had two wins thanks to him.
Yeah. Josh in Akron, I could not believe that I saw Randall Gay be put into the game frivolously. Cover those terrible wide receivers. I know Ellis Hobbs is the next Earthwin Moreland, but I would rather have someone who starts games than the nickel corner. Gay, that will get burned even on a prevent D. I think I should change the name I email with because there seems to be a lot of Josh's emailing these days. I want to become a regular. Any suggestions? Yeah.
Go with Sawyer.
Fluctuation.
First you need to write emails that I can read. But besides that, he can't wait until Mercury Morris is on the show. And he is going to be on the show this Thursday.
What's his name? Josh.
I don't know.
Just Josh from Akron?
Go with the Akron
Bomber. No, that doesn't work. I was thinking that, Gary, but I can't say that on the air. Actually, I can say a-hole. Akron a-hole. Just don't put the S's in.
Are we going to take any breaks on the show?
No. We're going to get any food on the show?
Oh, actually, no. I do. It's 1:21. Let's take a break, Gary, and we'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Yeah, let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Oh, yeah.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Fred, Andy, and Paul. Tom is out, not feeling well.
Eric is not out, but he's in the locker room.
Oh, he is in the locker
feeling
room.
Feeling fine.
And Gary's in the booth.
And Wes Welker at the podium.
I hope Tom's able to come to Arizona.
Oh, he better. Anyway.
He's in Dallas now.
A lot of stuff going on
that,
on Patriots.
Then he's
going
to be in prison then because he's going to kill Wade Phillips.
A lot of things going on at Patriots.com. Live press conferences and archive press conferences. You could literally stay on the site all day and have content just coming to you. It's pretty amazing. A lot of fun.
Which is not true about the San Diego
Chargers.
Now, what
I'm thinking about...
Actually, I'm not even mad.
Where they didn't
it's
update
amazing.
The game.
If things work out this weekend, it's a big if, we should probably start the blogging Monday.
Okay.
Okay?
That's not a bad idea.
As preparations start building up...
So we're coming
I'm
in
I'm sitting
Monday?
At my desk.
Well, you know...
Can we start it Tuesday? Anyway...
Are we going to have one of
Way
those
to
meetings?
Gear up for those... What?
Don't we need a meeting?
Yeah,
we usually have a meeting so we can get together.
Yeah, if they win, we'll have a meeting.
Oh, that's right. We can't.
Well, I just wanted to know when do you know? Have any idea? Are we going on that Sunday? If we
I have
go?
No idea.
Yeah, that's what we
can't talk about it.
Sunday. Paul.
Warning, warning, Will Robinson.
Sunday.
See,
Paul.
This is, but this is part of the problem. Like you make fun of us, like gearing up to do that a little extra. You know, it might
count on whatever has happened in the past happening.
In terms of
Paul's not going.
In terms of preparation,
oh, he hasn't done this before. That's
I'm
why
I'm not here to talk about the past.
In terms of preparation, it might help to actually know what we're doing.
All right. Joe Collins from Hooksett, New Hampshire.
He'll just take the cheap shots, that's all.
Why is it that when the media asks Bill about an opponent, such as San Diego this coming week, and it's a team they have already defeated, Bill is quick to reply that it doesn't matter because that game is in the past and has no bearing on the upcoming game? Yet when they played Miami for a second time this year, Bill kept referring back to that loss the previous year at the end of the season to Miami, yet never mentioned anything about the first meeting this year when they soundly defeated them. He only seems to choose to use games in the past that they have lost as having some kind of influence on the next game.
That'll be a first-time listener, Joe.
That's accurate, coaches do. But don't ever ask him about it in a press conference because he'll MF you.
That's what coaches do. They
focus, especially Bill.
Especially when they're a heavy favorite. That they focus on the times when you're a heavy favorite and you lose.
Bill just does that in general, though.
No, I know, but he especially does it when
he also
you
changes.
Wouldn't think there's any way you could come up with. I mean, he's still using that game in 04, the 13-1 Patriots and the 1-12 Dolphins or whatever.
He changes his tune to fit his argument for that week.
Yeah,
is what he does.
But that's what coaches do.
Remember
good
the
coaches
whole debacle?
Do anyway. I mean, I know Wade Phillips just talks about how his team is better even when they lose. Good coaches do what Belichick does.
The Denver debacle.
Well, there's no sense in using an example of you were favored to win and you won. It's only, you know, you can only learn from when you were favored to win and you didn't win.
No, but the point is, he never says, well, you know what? We really whooped their ass the first time around and everything we did. So obviously, we're going to try to recreate some of the same matchups that we did the first time.
Yeah,
he only says.
Would you say that if you were a coach?
No.
Okay.
But I also wouldn't be a bit like Bill in
yes,
every sense.
Yes, you would. Sean in Montreal.
I agree. I'd be a great coach.
Sean in Montreal says, Wade Phillips is a fat, drunk buffoon. Hey, Douche Canoes, did any of you catch Wade Phillips' press conference the other day saying the best team lost the game? I thought we outplayed them. Can anyone imagine Belichick saying anything like that? Wade then continued to lobby for his own job by saying this team also exceeded expectations this season. Every time I saw this fat-headed moron bouncing around after winning a game, it reminded me just how far ahead the NFC, how far ahead of the NFC the AFC is. I don't know if
that's funny how that went all year, too, because it started off, everybody was like, well, the AFC has this dominance. And then suddenly in the middle of the year, there was this groundswell that maybe the NFC is closing the gap, and now it seems the gap is as wide as it's ever been again.
Well, it'll be interesting because that the AFC dominance started when Green Bay lost to Denver. That stopped the trend of NFC always winning these games, and then the AFC started winning. It'd be interesting if Green Bay could pull off an upset here against whichever AFC, if that would start another trend. But
yeah. But I also just
I think the NFC has only won two since then, Tampa and the Rams.
If you just look at the teams, expectation is that the Chargers are going to be good for a while. They have the talent, you know, whatever you think of North Turner, but the Colts, they have the quarterback and the talent. The Patriots have the quarterback and the talent. The Steelers have the quarterback and the talent. You know,
even the Browns.
Even the Browns, if you think they're an up-and-coming and they have their quarterback, whatever. Then you look at the NFC, and I know Eli Manning is now in the postseason, but people, it was like a month ago, people were questioning what they were they not going to re-sign Eli Manning when his contract ran out? Brett Favre is going to retire. You know, Tony Romo and the Cowboys are probably going to be competitive, but they haven't won a playoff game in 10 years. You know, you can kind of see just looking at the teams.
I agree.
Let's see.
The Super Bowl you're talking about, I think, Fred.
Oh, okay. They're showing it on TV right now. Let's see.
Paul McGuire, before all he did was sit on the little cart on the sideline of college games when he was actually a real NFL commentator.
Will writes in, did you guys notice the sideline shots of the Colts players, including Manning and Harrison, when the Chargers tied at 7? It looked like they were down by 3 touchdowns, even though they had basically dominated the first quarter. I was shocked. It was like the Colts had reverted back to choke mode. I think CBS was shocked, too, because they kept showing those sideline shots. Do you guys have any theories for this? Also, did you notice Merriman's first sack where he did the lights out dance in the Colts logo at midfield? I wonder if LT told him he was being classless. I hope we stomp the hell out of them.
I think Peyton Manning has a Bill Belichick-like throw-up face 99% of the time. I mean, you know, maybe every once in a while when the game's actually over, like Bill, he smiles like after they win a Super Bowl. But for the most part, he's serious or angry on the football. Everything is like life or death every play.
To be honest with you, I saw, and I know exactly all the shots they're talking about. It was the same face I saw Sunday that I saw last year in the AFC Championship game when he was about to go on the field and march his team down to a game-winning touchdown. So
right.
I don't think it really has anything. I think Andy's right. I think he just kind of has that look on his face like he wants to throw up all the time. And you know what? If you're the Colts, the first three quarters, they should have wanted to throw up because they should have been up by two touchdowns.
I have a newfound respect for Peyton Manning, you know, as I learn more and more about Bill Polian, having to put up with that, being on that team, having to coach the offense the way Manning has to do without an offensive coordinator. I have a newfound respect for Peyton Manning.
I wish you were serious, though.
I am serious.
Then don't say it with that stupid smirk on your face.
Because I'm making fun of Bill Polian, and whenever I have fun.
The more time goes by, the more I think that, you know, like this whole thing about his weapons. Like I've seen Brady do it in all kinds of different ways with different levels of receivers. But the more time goes by, I think it's Manning that makes those players look better than they are.
Absolutely.
And not the other way around.
Certainly with Dallas Clark. He stinks.
Well, I mean, you know.
He doesn't stink.
He's got Ben Watson hands. He catches every two or three.
I think he just gets more opportunities than Ben Watson. That's
he stinks. He's Ben Watson. I'm being fair. They both have questionable hands.
He doesn't catch a lot of very catchable passes, Fred. That doesn't mean he's not a good player. Again,
he's not on the Patriots. You don't have to get angry with me.
I think Dallas Clark is one of the best tight ends in the league.
Everybody says that, and everybody says he's the straw that stirs that offensive drink and everything, but I just see him drop a lot of balls. A lot of balls hit him in the hands.
I never thought it'd be the day where I was defending a Colt and you two guys were all over me. Mark from Melbourne.
We're honest and objective.
I was just like, we don't have any preconceived notions.
Okay. Mark from Melbourne, Florida. I look forward to the upcoming game against the beat-up Chargers next week. I'd be really concerned about the Pats D if the Chargers were healthy, but I think they will be fine now to get the Super Bowl. I wanted to talk to you about Asante Samuel. I've been noticing the last few games that he has been getting beat more frequently against Jacksonville. I thought he played horrible. It seemed like every big pass play was to his man, including that 4th-and-2 on the first drive where he bit on a fake in the second touchdown. Do you guys agree, or are there other factors at work there too?
I'm sure there's other factors at work, but I think he had his worst game in probably over a year.
Yeah, Saturday.
I
don't think he played very well Saturday, although I
think he's hurt.
I know it looks like, but I don't, much like the Ellis Hobbs stuff where they talked about that Najee Davenport play, you know, really didn't have a lot to do with Ellis Hobbs. I just can't imagine that he is the only guy that's supposed to be responsible for the tight end. I mean, what happens if a wide receiver goes out?
Right.
You know, something happened on that play. There was a coverage breakdown, I think, that he was a part of. He definitely bit on the fake, the way the E. Miller said. But there was something else that happened on that play that left him out there all by himself on that. That I don't think was right. The touchdown was a terrible play. He lost, I think it was Wilford in the end zone. Terrible play. He didn't play well.
He
didn't.
He had a terrible game, but piecing together all the, I think he's a little banged up. He missed two practice days, the bye week. Then he has a terrible game, and I thought he looked like he was limping at times a little bit. And then afterwards, in the post game locker room, I went up to him and he said, "No, I got to get to the trainer for treatment."
Mm.
So I think he's dealing with something. I don't know what it is, but he might be a little banged up. That said, no excuses. If he's on the field, we're going to criticize him. He had a terrible game.
I think he played badly.
So the price went down from $100 million to $85.
Al from the Middle East saw the game here from the Middle East at 4 a.m. Sunday morning. PFW's faith in the Patriots going into this weekend was nice, I guess. But I'm afraid you all very badly underestimated the Jaguars. When not deployed, I live about only 2 hours from Jacksonville. I know how good they are. I predicted both teams would move the ball, with the Pats having to force field goals while our offense put up touchdowns. In the second half, that's pretty much what happened. Jacksonville may prove to be the third best team in the playoffs this year after the Pats and Colts. Looks to me like they could beat anyone in the NFC this year in a Super Bowl on a neutral field. The key play in the game, of course, had to be when Dennis Northcutt dropped an easy catch near the Pats goal line on a third down, followed by Tom Brady hitting Ben Watson, also on third down, for a TD at the other end.
Yep.
Those two plays combined to create an 11-point spread for the Patriots, the final margin after the teams later swap field goals. Let's continue this week's PFW bashing by calling attention to the exploits of Lawrence Maroney. I know he's my top running back going into next season. He had a solid effort start to finish. Late in the game, his average was artificially reduced by him having to basically squeeze the ball and fall down. A few earlier plays were also slow developing, blowing up in the backfield. That's not his fault. Just about every time Maroney had a chance to gain yardage, he did.
Oh, that's is this Al from the phone call when I
Al
said
Al Fecto, yes.
If you, you know, would you be comfortable if Sammy, if he's just your only
key
cog?
Yeah, that's why he said
so
I
he's now
he's my,
fully
now I'm confident.
Now after a month of good play, he's fully comfortable. Well, you know what? After if I just saw this last month's sampling, I'd say he's had a great month. But I have to take into account the 3 months that came before.
I thought he was terrific Saturday night. We said it several times. But you can't. I agree, the end of the game when you're running out the clock, that kind of hurts your average, and that's not his job isn't to get yards. It's just to keep the clock moving. But you can't say early in the game he had some slow developing plays that blew up in the backfield. That's not his fault. Well, so, in other words,
he gets credit, but
the
no blame.
The 29-yard run that Stephen Neal knocked seven guys out of his way, does right. Maroney get credit for that? I think he does.
That's why it's called average.
He hits the hole quickly and got through and then he, you know, weaved through the secondary, made some guys miss. He ran well. He gets credit for that. Just like when you don't get yards, you know, you get blame.
Shane says, yesterday on Patriots Monday, Fred and Steve were really letting a guy have it. The caller said that the Patriots basically let the Jags go up and down the field all night. Fred and Steve yelled at the guy and said he didn't know what he had watched. The Pats held him to two field goals in the second half and that it was like night day between the two halves. I agree with the caller. I don't think that the Pats D played much better in the second half. Minimal improvement at best. The Pats caught a few breaks in the game, and it could have been much worse. Count me in on being worried about the defense.
Well, you're right, and you have to go to Patriots.com to get some objective analysis of the game because you can't get that on certain radio stations in the greater Boston area. That being said, I'd love to join that conversation on the radio station in the Boston area.
I'm concerned. I don't think it's going to hurt them because I think their offense is too good. You know, Brady is just too good. They're going to win, and I think that's why. But this defense has not played well.
Well, they always say the best defense is a good offense,
yeah,
and
well,
I think the Patriots prove that.
Yeah, that's you know another reason why I always scoff at that defense wins championships thing. I think Andy's right. If you're exceptional on one side of the ball or the other, I don't think it matters which one it is. You can be good.
99% of the time, that can be true. But when you have an offense like the Patriots, it's an exception.
Yeah, and I think I've given enough examples of teams that were dominant on offense that won championships.
Let's see. Henry from Norway.
Hank.
Looking forward to Sunday. I think the Packers will win a close game against the Giants. I see the Patriots game as a little harder to predict, actually. I would normally think the Patriots blow out the Chargers with at least two TDs. I'm beginning to jump on the North Turner bandwagon. You have to admit, it's quite impressive to defeat the Colts in the Dome. Turner did a good job coaching, in my opinion. So I'm actually a bit worried. I think the game will be closer than you guys think, but I am confident. I don't like Tomlinson. He's a fraud. He is not a classy guy as he says he is. I remember the fires in California saying all the houses around my house got burned. I thank God for that. Funny idiot, that Tomlinson guy.
He said thank God that the houses got burned?
I don't know if that's the exact
thank
quote.
God that my house didn't get
he
burned.
He had a bad quote during the fires. I don't remember the specifics of it, but it was a bad quote.
Oh, wow.
He
said, thank God.
And
the
I'm going to
it was
burned.
Like, my house didn't get burned, but everyone around me did, thank God.
Yeah, the way he said
so in other words,
it was,
thank God that my house didn't get burned is what he means.
But it came out poorly the way he worded it.
Oh.
It was much ado about my arguments with LaDainian Tomlinson.
Right,
and I've flipped that switch now. I hate him.
Yeah, I think there's some reason to think that he is
are
a classless
more,
guy.
Yeah, a
That's
lot
not
other
one of
other
things
that
though.
He's done. Right. What was the start of that email? Damn it, I wanted to say something.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't think it's necessarily going to be a blowout.
Yeah, I think the Chargers will score some points.
No, I'm
excited.
My prediction for their TV show is 24-14.
Well, I think the Patriots are going to score a lot more than 24.
I think it'll be more points, but I think they might give up more points, too.
Yeah.
I don't think the defense is playing very good football right now.
I look at them.
Crappy was the word Rodney Harrison used.
Mid-30s, I think. Yeah, I mean, Rodney Harrison was
10 degrees?
I think mid-30s for points.
Okay.
Minimum. 34, 38, something like that. 38, 24, maybe.
But, yeah, I'm it's almost a new version of old school Patriots now again, where I think they're going to win. The game might be in question until the final 4 seconds, and it might be a 3-point game, 1-score game, but I think the Patriots are going to win. I don't.
You know how a lot of these games where they are close, but we get that feeling that the Patriots are in control. The Jacksonville game was not one of those games.
No.
Okay.
No, the but score, I think the score was deceptive.
I think this game will be close, but I think we'll feel in control.
Could be.
I agree with you, Fred. I think the score was a little deceptive in this game. 11 points makes it sound like they had it all the way, but I think the game was in question
Was in question until they broke serve in that second half when they, you know, when they – well, I don't know if we want to say the
probably
word force.
The second one. The second field goal they had to settle for. If they get that there and they get back within four, maybe they go for two and make it three. Maybe it's five. You know, 3, 4, or 5, whatever. Then I think that, you force the Patriots to go down and make some more plays. 28-20 kind of really didn't put a lot of urgency on the Patriots. They were moving the ball. And, you know, let's just say for argument's sake you get within 4 or 3. And now the Patriots can't just kick a field goal at that position. They have to get a touchdown. You know, you had one drop. That's when Welker dropped his pass, the second of the two drops. Maybe that causes a field goal, and now Jacksonville, that last drive, is within a score. That changes the whole complexion. That was a pretty close game.
Now, earlier in the show, we talked about when Paul gives the nod, and the nod is when he looks at me and he says, it's over, Patriots win. Paul actually, in this game, gave me the nod on the opening kickoff. When Jacksonville took a knee in the end zone, instead of running it out, he said, it's over. They're not playing to win. They're willing to take a knee. That's when you gave the nod, remember?
I do.
I think he was wrong.
I do.
No, he was right. The game was
well,
up.
I was wrong.
He was right, but he was wrong.
Well, he
it was 14-14 at that half.
I know, but the idea is the game, you know.
I was wrong.
Back and forth.
No, but they actually made up for that later because they went for 4th and 1 or something. So,
on that drive.
Yeah, they
had a terrible game returning kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Bill made a good point too, though. He's, you know, they didn't do a good job, but they were great. The Patriots were greatly helped statistically by the kick that took the weird bounce.
No, that's what I mean. I'm talking about the Jaguars. I thought had an. I think he should have brought that one out. I think that one he needs to get that ball earlier before it takes the weird bounce.
And then
bounce.
They had the holding penalty on the other one. That
I think he was hoping that kick went out of bounds, and I didn't like. To me, that's like an infielder backing up on the ball. Be aggressive. Go get the ball. You're Maurice Jones-Drew. Make a play.
I thought it was going
to
go.
And then they had another one where they gave it to the other guy. You got Maurice Jones-Drew.
And they did the reverse.
They did the so that's three times where you took them out of their kick return game. And all I heard Bill was saying Maurice Jones-Drew on special teams can take it to the house every time he touches.
You know, I read the transcript on that and I saw Bill's comment and I agreed with him. You know, we did a good job of covering the kicks, but we were also greatly aided by some funny plays, is the way I think he.
Well, they took themselves out of it. I'm not saying funny anything. They took themselves out of it.
He's not going to rip the other team, Andy.
Why not? Wade Phillips would.
Wade Phillips tell you, the better special teams didn't win.
Jimmy in Orlando, eight bitches. How about them Colts looking ahead, were they?
I was.
Months ago, I mentioned the Chargers tooling up, getting Chambers. I don't think with all the injuries it will be a scary game this week. The weather, on the other hand, may crimp the passing game. I'm glad to see the Pats get their running game in gear. One thing is for sure, the tight ends being healthy, Maroney with fresh legs, it's coming together. Chill. It's hard to move someone on the line and keep your footing in the snow. Who's got the edge? Oh, we're not saying snow now, are we?
I thought it was just cold.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about snow.
No, I heard
it's a long way off.
The
too.
Snow
it's
is
a whole week.
Thursday night into Friday, I believe, is a big storm or a storm of some sort. So, yeah, I don't think the early projection is for any snow game time.
John writes in, the second the game was over, I listened to every media member, TV announcer, radio broadcaster, everyone talk about next week when we face Indy. I sat there thinking, come on, guys, let them play first. The one that bugged me most was hearing Ditka on ESPN, why am I surprised, say that even if the Pats manage to win tonight, which I don't think they will, Indy is a better team. They're younger and faster, and they'll beat the Patriots. Hey, Mike, beat this. Your rep as an expert and analyst is looking about as credible as any other ESPN employee. Now, don't get me wrong. I can't stand the Colts talk about class. Did you hear them boo the 14-year-old girl, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, get off your high horse.
I agree with TG on that one. If that one was in Foxborough.
They would have done nothing because they don't cheer at all.
And there was a Colts shirt out there, the Colts shirt would have been booed.
Yeah.
Not to mention the beatdown that the fans themselves get in the stands every week when they have opposing shirts on.
Did you? There was a serious altercation at Gillette Stadium. Did you see that?
Was it involving a Jags fan?
I don't think so. I think it might have been two Patriots fans, but the guy's in a coma.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it, yeah, that's all we need to say. Remind me to talk to you off the air.
All right, on the phone right now. We just got back to North Carolina. It's Craig. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Good. How was the game?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I had a ball.
That's great.
Yeah, I had a ball. Screaming bloody murder. Glad it turned out the way it did. Hey, listen, I just wanted to thank you guys for, you know what?
Oh,
wow.
Bad guy Gary is.
Hey, I'm still here.
Oh, he's still there. Okay. All right.
Hey, guys, do me a favor. Start talking it up to get the players to carry Bill off the field. You know, I mean, if we win this Super Bowl, I should say.
Now he's really gone, right?
You got to go. I mean,
all right, carry Bill from the field.
There's a lot that. That's not just Craig talking about that. We've gotten emails about that. There's
I saw an email today about that.
So people want them to carry Bill off the field.
It's so ridiculous.
I agree, Bill.
See, I don't care if they carry him off the field. I just don't know why anybody would even have that on their mind. Like, why would you? You know what would really make the Super Bowl
It's really
better?
Supposed to be a spontaneous thing, right?
Yeah, like, but, I mean, seriously. Why? Who cares? Why would you worry about that?
I always find it kind of awkward.
Well, especially when they had Holmgren on there and it felt like he was.
Yeah, I mean, you got these big fat coaches who some of them, the players are struggling to keep them up there, and it's just awkward.
Like, go with I got a feeling if someone tried to Bill grab Belichick, he'd wiggle like a fish.
I don't think Bill would like that.
Wiggle like a fish.
I agree with you, Fred. I don't think Bill would like that.
What if you drop him and he hits his head and the dynasty goes out the window?
Right. Iggy from Madrid, quick question to
Gary. We got a pin in Madrid?
Do you think that if a 5-year-old boy throws a football directly to our 07 first-round pick, he'd be able to catch it?
No.
Wow. Brandon
so now it's
Merriweather
we're going to turn on? Well, Rodney Harrison has, in fact, gone on the record.
I'm not so sure the 04 first-round pick could either.
Is that Watson? Rodney Harrison went on the record joking that...
That was funny.
The DBs have a running joke who has the worst hands, and he said when he caught his interception, he wanted to make sure he wasn't replacing Brandon Merriweather. So clearly, even the players know Brandon Merriweather has the worst team hands on that team's defense. We didn't have a pin, did we, Gary?
Hello.
Now we have a pin in Madrid.
Strippers says that I posted what Andy said about Tom's ads are geared for the affluent and Peyton's for the average dude. And someone posted how Tom does normal stuff like Glaco Smart Water, Nike T-shirts, Hershey's bars, Stetson cologne. I know Tom does ads for expensive watches. What else does he sell? I'm getting creamed on a message board. I don't know.
That's your own fight. You picked it.
You screwed up. You trusted Andy.
Well, first of all, Glaco water or whatever is not for the – I mean, that's fancy water. It's still just water, so it's not like it's $1,000 a bottle, but it's fancy water.
I know that the cologne is not a high-end cologne.
No.
Stetson cologne is not a high-end
but
cologne.
But the Movado watches is
that's
high-end.
That's very high-end.
I know from experience.
Plus, the ads are just kind of, you know.
He does highbrow ads. I mean, isn't it Calvin Klein? Wasn't he doing Calvin Klein stuff?
No, he's doing Stetson. Stetson actually is cheap cologne.
That's what I said. It's
yeah.
not a high-end cologne.
No,
you
not.
Really just don't listen to anything we say.
But I never heard,
why we don't come in on Mondays after we
I've
work
never heard
Sunday.
Calvin Klein. I don't think he does Calvin Klein.
He does fancy stuff.
I don't know.
I'm running with it.
He does Movado watches.
Right.
And
Cadillac.
He did Cadillac. Doesn't do it anymore.
And he sued him.
Yeah.
Come on down to Tom
Evidently,
Ray's
everybody has
City.
A Cadillac nowadays, though, so that's for, you know.
Well, Fred's thinking about getting another one.
Chris in the Bronx, just to support your Watson as disappointment argument, here are the last three tight ends taken in the first round. 05, Heath Miller. 06, Mercedes Lewis. And 07, Greg Olsen. I think it's fair to say that Watson is a disappointment for where he was taken. He's a solid tight end who I hope plays his entire career with the Pats, but he hasn't become the go-to guy with dependable hands that most of us hoped.
Yes.
I'm sorry if this opens up another slew of arguments,
probably
but I wanted you to know that some listeners understand what you are saying.
Right. We didn't say we hate Benjamin Watson.
And I would say Mercedes Lewis has been disappointing.
Yes.
Well, you were very a-hole-ish toward him, I have to
Why?
Say, Andy.
What did I say
well,
that was a-hole-ish?
Well, you were very wise guy.
What
wise
did I say? That's what
Looks
I did.
Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane.
You were
That's
saying,
the one it seems to have
you
gotten under people's
stiff,
skin.
You know.
Did I really call him a stiff? Because I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I remember looks like Tarzan, play like Jane, but I actually think that is a very accurate assessment.
And plus, it's a very common
football. Well,
it doesn't
football, play like Jane.
But it's a very common.
How do you know Jane can't
like
play?
Tarzan.
Can I just tell you
how
one
Jane
thing?
Jane play?
She's
from,
not that good.
From talking to some of the Patriots coaches / staff, that's a perception that he's a little soft. So that's where that comes from.
On the phone is Wayne from Jacksonville. Is this Wayne Weaver, owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Oh, I wish.
So do I. Maybe you could send lunch.
I did send lunch.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
Somebody screwed us today, Wayne. I know it wasn't you, but somebody promised lunch and didn't deliver.
Wayne, you've definitely taken care of us.
I delivered. But,
yes, you have.
You did.
No one remembered me.
No, we still remember. We love you.
We remember them all.
In fact,
me.
Every time
Gary,
you call, we
Gary
joke
has
that you're
a running
Wayne
list of all the people that have sent. So we definitely remember Wayne.
Okay, I just thought you forgot. That's
no, fine. No. The only person who forgot around here is the guy who was supposed to send lunch today.
You know, if I had been here a little early, I might have been able to fix you up. But
I will pencil you in for next week.
What's that?
Nothing. What's up?
You guys mentioned defense. You know, they have a different take on it down here. And a couple guys that are, you know, the guys from 1010XL, I guess he's from Boston.
McManus?
And, you know, they kind of thought that, you know, the front line of the D was getting after Garrard all night long. And, you know, they didn't really think that we played all that bad on the D side. So, I don't know. I mean, like you said, a couple of corners look banged up. I mean, not having, you know, Randall Gay out there wasn't really the best thing that could have happened. But, you know, they're not saying their point of view was they did a pretty good job of closing him down, and when he threw, his problem is his receivers didn't catch.
Right.
It's been the story on them all year long. A couple better catches, and, you know, kind of like what Wes Welker did. If he caught the ball, what would have happened? You know, if the other guy had caught the ball, what would have happened type thing.
Yeah, you want to talk about...
They had a ton of misses, you know?
You want to talk about first-round disappointments. Their receiving core let them down in this game. And
Williams and Jones.
They've spent draft picks on them. They should be a strength of the team. Garrard comes in, and it looks like he's going to be a pretty good quarterback for them, but it was the weapons.
And I did think the Patriots got a good amount of pressure
front,
on the
yep.
passer. I thought they had some in the first half and a lot in the second half, but Garrard kept making the throws. Even in the face of that pressure, it was the receivers. I think you're right, Wayne, that let them down.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's great that they backed off all the guys and he tried, you know, a three-man rush, a four-man rush. That, I mean, this is what they're saying, not what I'm saying, but they're saying that you backed them off so far, great, you took Randy Moss out of the game, left everybody else open. Well, you know, you're going to get killed doing that. And so,
well,
you know, they had just, you know, they had some issues.
You could make the argument that they stayed in the game because
they didn't
of that
get killed. You're going to get killed if Randy Moss is catching 55-yard touchdown passes and they're zipping down the field. They had a chance to be in that game, to win that game in the second half. And if the receivers don't drop the ball, then they really have a chance where they're going score for score with the Patriots, and you're in it till the end.
Yep, that's, you know, they just didn't think that. That the Garrard had it that easy. I mean, you thought that he was getting pressured all night long.
Oh, no, I did.
Brady was sitting there all night long. They got no pressure on him.
I agree.
Their whole point of view down here the whole time was pressure him, get him off the field, you know, throw him in the box and go at him. And then at the end of the day, you know, the only analysis they come up with, they just don't have the personnel to do it.
Well, if they wanted to pressure him, I mean, you could try that, but I think you lose 42-7.
I think the last part of what Wayne just said is true. I don't think they have
the personnel
to do that.
I don't either, but...
That's why I didn't think it was a good matchup coming in.
I also think that defensively they played pretty well, as well as...
You know, it's funny. I told this to Andy, Fred. My brother called me Sunday afternoon, and he was saying how he couldn't believe how well Jacksonville played on defense. And I said, they didn't stop them once all day. And he goes, no, but no one has stopped them all year. But with the Jags really made them... patiently pecked their way down the field, and that took a lot of time for them to score, and they were scoring with long drives themselves, so they kind of shortened the game. In the end, they ended up with 31 points, but they never were out of the game because it was never this one 50-yard pass to Moss or anything like that. They made them do it in a different way.
And it was a fast game. It was
Yeah. And I suppose looking at it that way, I think that they might have been right. My brother might have been right.
Well, I mean, that's just what they're saying down here. I mean, they're going to lock – I mean, I guess they're like $21 million under the cap living in this town. I hear it all the time. So I guess Garrard is going to get locked up. That's their biggest thing. So we'll see him again. And his backup's pretty good, too. Quinn Gary, I mean, he went what?
Throwing bullets.
On the road?
Yeah. And now if they can just get them some weapons to work with through the air, maybe they'll – because they're a physical team. They've got some – obviously the running game. If you can get them a couple receivers, maybe Garrard will have something going on down there.
I think they need a dynamic, athletic guy on defense to play off the edge.
Dan Klecko.
Dynamic and to play.
You know, like the guy I thought of off the top of my head was Terrell Suggs. You know,
somebody
someone
like
that they can maybe stand up on the outside, do a couple of different things with. Adalys Thomas, what we thought we were getting last year.
Yeah, not the one that played here this year.
You know, just someone that can maybe get after the passer and be used in a couple of different ways, a really, really premier athlete. I think that's what they need on defense.
Gary from Syracuse wants to know, would you guys rather have a 50% LT in Rivers or 100% Turner in Volek? Which would you rather have? He'd rather have the Hurt Stars.
Well, 50%? Literally 50%?
Like, yeah, that's
no,
tough.
But I don't think they're 50%. I think they're going to be 80, 90%, something like that. If, so yeah, I'll take the Stars.
If it's 50%, then I agree with Andy. I would go with the backups.
50 is pretty bad.
Plus, I think that Turner is pretty good. I don't think he's a stiff. Now, Volek, I think, has made a career out of throwing for 400 yards one week and throwing six interceptions the next. So I have he didn't do anything Sunday, by the way. On that 78-yard drive, he had one play that he had a long third down conversion that he made a nice throw on. And for that, he's to be commended. But this whole thing that they beat him without Rivers is not really true.
Right.
They scored 21 points with Rivers.
TG and NJ, can you please tell Rodney to cool it with the penalties? Yes, he makes up for it with the interception, but I feel like his luck is going to run out, and he's going to hurt the team with his persistent ranting and flailing and tomfoolery. And while you're at it, please tell him to stop flying into the piles late and hitting his own teammates. I saw Seymour get the brunt of a full on a Rodney smack. Come on, Rodney, you're supposed to knock the other team's players out of the game, not yours. And questions, if Seau or Bruschi go down, then what? And what say you of the play of young Mr. Merriweather? Is he starting to get it?
Paul, we'll let you tell Rodney to cool it.
Well, I think you're asking Rodney to not be Rodney.
What's that, Paul Perillo?
I'm
a lion can't, you know, leopard.
Yeah.
Spots,
that's
lion,
it.
Whatever it is.
I think what you see with Rodney is what you get. That's right. What he's done from day one, that he's been a Patriot, and that's what I thought of him in San Diego. He plays on the edge.
And
a lot of time
it.
On the other side of that edge.
Right, on the wrong side of the edge. Merriweather, he's clearly moved up a little bit. He's getting a lot of playing time. Eugene Wilson is a healthy scratch. But I haven't really seen him show up or make plays, and I see balls bounce off his chest.
I mean, aside from the plays that he doesn't make in terms of interceptions, I haven't really noticed.
What's that one called, Andy?
Any
a Brandon
plays.
Merriweather. Oh, can I put that on UrbanDictionary.com? Can I make one up? Brandon Merriweather strippers. You do that. Put a new entry on UrbanDictionary.com. It's Brandon Merriweather. It's when balls bounce off your chest.
Just a quick note on T.O. Judging by his emotional highs and lows, from grabbing pom-poms from cheerleaders to crying in the locker room, it appears that T.O. suffers from bipolar disorder.
Yes.
He has difficulty seeing beyond the immediate future, which leads to him failing to see consequences for his words and actions. I agree with all of you in that it's potentially scary. The man needs guidance and a good psychiatrist. And Andy, seriously, Cleveland Steamer? Yikes.
Well, I'm adding to it now, and a sub note under Brandon Merriweather, make it Benjamin Watson. That's when balls bounce off your hands.
Now that's Andy Hart, okay? I don't want to hear the brunt of that.
All right, and we'll close off on this one. Mike from Wilbraham, Eric, I could kick your ass. I'm not a lazy ass like you said I was, and the only way you could beat me is if for you and your boyfriend to fight me in your closet. I don't think you've ever seen a weight room, and the only fight
closet.
You've ever gotten into is over what color you should paint your walls, and of course that was with your life partner. Oh, and I don't write my emails in a queer color just like you do anytime you name it, Scalavino. And I'm not fat. I made the varsity as a fullback and linebacker, so Eric, anytime. Boy, this guy really wants to fight him.
Eric went at him pretty good late last week, so
he's
responding.
All right.
How did that guy know that Eric writes his emails in funny colored fonts?
That's funny.
Did Eric reply to him or
something? I'm wondering.
In that funny green he
uses? Well, Mike, don't take it too seriously, really.
Look who's here.
What did I miss?
Your mic's not on. I can't hear you. Gary!
His mic is on.
Yes, it is.
Gary,
usual
hurry up.
Frivolity.
What did I miss about Eric in this?
Eric challenged someone to a fight.
Oh, I missed all the good stuff.
A 14-year-old, by the way.
Oh, this kid's 14?
Yes, that's the one that Eric was ripping.
Can we set this up, Fred? Eric will get killed by this kid.
Fred, we could sell pay-per-view.
We got a pay-per-view.
On Patriots.com, $295. Something's, you know, a little bit. But
make some money. Give it to the charitable foundation.
Yes.
Somehow I think there's something illegal about that with a 14-year-old.
He's going to win.
If he signs a waiver, he's going to kick his ass.
I got a feeling that I'm going to get in trouble. Anyway, John, how you doing?
Excellent.
Patriots won last week.
They did, didn't they?
How about you? You've been away a long time. Maybe you didn't hear. I don't try to choose no more.
You weren't here for the game?
Yes, I was here for the game. Shows how much you pay attention.
I'm just kidding.
The press box is muted. That glass is pretty quiet.
Now, did you hear of any of our show? I want to ask you this question, and if you heard the show, you know the answer. But What do you think, besides emails about our game with the Jacksonville Jaguars, the single most emailed topic that this team received from fans? What was the one topic that was the single biggest email that we received from fans having to do with one of the other games?
One of the other games?
One of the other games.
I'm not sure. I didn't hear, so I don't know.
The single most was the girl being booed at the punt, pass, and kick in the Colts.
Really?
That was the topic
on everyone's
mind. Can you
imagine that bothered people?
She has a Patriots jersey on and
she has a Patriots
booed.
And she got booed.
And she got booed.
And people are upset about it.
I mean, they're all calling the Patriots that we should do something for because they
for
all.
For her?
For her. Yeah. They felt.
Which age bracket was she in?
14.
14 years old.
Yep.
Wow. Well, so, you know, hey, sometimes you just, you know, kind of.
It was one of those funny things.
Well,
did you see it?
I just heard about it. I did not see
it. I really
it,
think
I
our
heard
fans
that happened,
would have done the
so
same thing.
Oh, I know that.
I didn't think anything about it.
I also
it, so.
Would think that our fans would kind of have the same reaction that we did. I mean, instead they're having like my wife's reaction. Oh, that's terrible. That poor girl. And I try. They're not really booing
it's all
her.
In fun.
They're booing
they're
the
booing
shirt.
They're booing the shirt.
And it's not right. like a vicious thing that you know they want to go and throw stuff at her or whatever.
My guess is her parents had to.
If there is an opportunity to bring her for this game, John, you need to make it that the Colts fans are really bad.
Okay, I'll try to do that, and
say the way they run things in Indianapolis under Bill Polian.
That's his new Polian? Name.
That's
Polian.
What Fred calls him now.
I just
I'm
got
on
through
board.
Listening to a bunch of Patriot stuff over
right.
there.
Yeah. I'm on board and with so, Fred on yeah. that. Bill Polian.
Bill Polian.
Polian? Yeah, he's just he's a piece of work. He is an absolute piece
he's
of work.
Once again,
I really respect the Colts and what they do, but I can't stand him, and I have no respect for him.
Well, to me,
does
anybody,
a good job.
I
to
know,
me,
but
anybody
I,
who
I,
sits
I
there,
past that.
Anybody who sits in the press box and beats on the table
right.
and yells to break his leg like he did for Flutie a couple of years ago, like I'm
Fred.
Sorry. I can't get past
he
that.
He yells nonstop
that's
every
what he
game
does
about
in our,
somebody.
You should see what he does in his own press
well,
box.
I'm sure it's even
you
worse
hear
in his own
rip,
press box.
Ripping
well,
his
well,
own
when I actually heard that, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Somebody, who is that guy? And then somebody says, oh, that's Napoleon. I'm like, ah, well, now it makes sense.
We missed a big opportunity to make names for ourselves that day. If we had recorded some of that stuff and could have gotten that out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Remember, I mean,
should have turned on
do you remember
your
how bad he was that day?
I don't think that's ethically proper, Paul.
Suddenly, the
suddenly,
moral compass
suddenly
of the show. Yeah, I mean,
this show is all fun and games. But.
You could say you were just recording your own thing and he drowned it out.
So I'm trying to record
first
the air
of all,
conditioning
like, I'd be
in
seriously
here.
Going like this the whole game.
You tech.
Well,
you tech.
We have to go film our show. We're going to throw it over to John Rook, Patriots Playbook. We will see you tomorrow here in PFW in Progress.